to an independent inquiry into the distribution of GST to the states and territories. The Treasurer has prepared terms of reference for a Productivity Commission inquiry into the GST distribution model. It says Finance Minister Matthias Cormann confirmed the inquiry, which will hold hearings and report back to the federal government by January next year. The report says the inquiry will investigate the system of horizontal fiscal equalisation, which takes money from resource-rich states such as Western Australia and gives it to poorer states to balance out inequalities. The WA government argues the model penalises the West to the tune of billions of dollars for its strong resources industry while rewarding states which knock back mining projects. Victorian car buyers and property investors will be slugged by tax changes that will rake in about $120 million a year in the upcoming state budget. Those in the market for a brand new car will pay more stamp duty from July 1 in a move Treasurer Tim Pallas says will put more than $100 million a year into the state's coffers. For new passenger vehicles, stamp duty will increase from $6.40 per $200 of market value to $8.40, aligning the rate with that for used cars. Property taxes are also in the line of fire from next financial year. Investment property transfers between partners will no longer be exempt from stamp duty, except for the principal place of residence or following a relationship breakdown. Australia is looking to buy anti-radiation missiles worth about $183.7 million for its Growler aircraft fleet, according to a US agency. The US State Department has approved the possible sale and Congress has been informed, a notice from the country's Defence Secretary Cooperation Agency says. The sale would include up to 70 high-speed anti-radiation missiles, 40 advanced anti-radiation guided missiles and training missiles, as well as other support equipment. The total estimated cost is $183.7 million. To Brexit, and the European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker says Britain appears to be underestimating the technical difficulties of Brexit after EU leaders quickly and unanimously approved guidelines for a phased approach to Britain's withdrawal.
It was the first and the last time that we were able to conclude in 4 minutes, so don't expect us to keep the same speed, although we have already prepared a text which could be adopted immediately if our British friends would be ready to sign it.
Meanwhile, EU Council President Donald Tusk has insisted there would be no discussions on a future relationship before key issues, such as how much Britain owes the bloc, were sufficiently agreed, and said the welfare of citizens and families living in each other's nations would be the priority once the talks started. Around 4 million Australians are considered ticking time bombs because they don't have their blood pressure under control. Figures released for the start of Heart Week reveal a quarter of adults have high blood pressure that's going untreated or being treated inadequately. Heart Foundation CEO, Adjunct Professor John Kelly, says it's important to get it checked regularly.
Everyone over 45 should have their blood pressure checked at least every 2 years. If you don't know whether your blood pressure is okay, please see your doctor. But there are some other simple factors as well, like eating a healthy diet, being physically active and not smoking. These certainly help reduce high blood pressure.
Also in news, two men have suffered stab wounds during an argument with another man at Logan City in southeast Queensland. This is AIR News. New South Wales Waratahs coach Daryl Gibson is hopeful their dramatic come-from-behind victory over the Queensland Reds can be the springboard they need to return to Super Rugby finals contention. The gutsy 29-26 win, their seventh derby win in a row against the Reds, has put the Waratahs within 4 points of the Brumbies, who lead the maligned Australian Conference and are in line for an automatic playoff berth. It has also eased the pressure on Gibson, who came under fire in their horror loss to the Southern Kings last week. Frustrated Gold Coast coach Rodney Eade will contact the AFL's umpiring department after the Suns were hurt by questionable decisions in their 13-point loss to North Melbourne. Despite losing Matt Rosa to a concussion in the second quarter, Eade's men were well in the game in their final term. They trailed by a goal when Brandon Matera was penalised for a throw, despite appearing to execute a quick handball by an umpire who didn't have a clear line of sight. With the game evenly balanced, Ben Brown kicked a crucial goal from the free kick, and umpire's boss Hayden Kennedy can expect to please explain from Eade. Also in sport, Newcastle's season of horror continues after a 38-8 drubbing at the hands of a reinvigorated Gold Coast in round 9 of the NRL. Meanwhile, Australia's preparations for Friday's test against New Zealand have been thrown into disarray, with Aaron Woods likely out after suffering a hamstring and groin injury in last night's loss to Cronulla. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather. Sydney's weather, partly cloudy, winds southwesterly 15 to 20 k's, tending southerly in the middle of the day. The good news is 0% chance of any rainfall. Sydney heading for a top temperature of 22 degrees. Jim, what's the current temperature at Toongabby? And we're going to Tamworth for Tamworth Cup Day today.
Glad you've asked me that, Ray. I've got it open here on the interweb. Toongabby, 13 degrees Celsius right now.
Coolish.
An expected maximum of 22 degrees. But degrees. Tamworth, sunny today, 24 degrees. Good morning, Mrs. Thomas.
Pressure. It's something that most of us don't like to be under. In fact, it often causes confusion and mistakes. As a professional athlete, it's something that I've had to get used to. Yet people think it's okay to put heaps of pressure on kids to perform when they're playing sport. It may seem harmless enough, but constant calling out instructions from the sideline and telling kids what to do can be a real downer. I'm Sam Thaiday from the Brisbane Broncos, and it's time to let kids be kids and enjoy their sport. Google Play by the Rules to find out more.
On Sky Sports Radio, we bring you Australia's most comprehensive racing coverage. Key to that is our team of experienced presenters, including Russell Beach.
Every race day is different, and that's what makes it so exciting. It's a great buzz when we guide our listeners into backing winners through the Tab Market Movers.
Tab Market Movers, caller updates, all geared to help listeners enjoy and hopefully profit from their punting. Russell Beach, part of our national racing service, every day on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
All covered, all ground, all beaten. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Breezy, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man shaking it. See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
Buy 3 weeks worth of the Man Shake, and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
Oh, look out. Walker, he's kicked into vacant space. The bounce is favourable for Greg Inglis to score on one leg.
Touch it!
The finger goes up. It's all over. Wickets for Nathan Lyon.
And another World Golf Championship for Dustin Johnson. In the end, the guy with all the firepower and all the game ends up on top.
There we are. It's Serena Williams again. 14 years after that first victory here. Grand Slam number 22.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
When the red light goes on, Raymond, we are on air.
There we go.
You know what? It's just a matter of time and we'll get that right. We will get that right. Good morning to everyone. Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday. I know we are. Where else would you want to be? We love it up here at French's Forest, but we've got a big 3 hours coming up too, right? Dare I say it?
You can say it if you want.
Massive program. After the standalone meeting at Hawkesbury, what a success that is.
Over 11,000 again, Jim.
Could they fit any more in?
I reckon I was thinking that on the way home last night. The only way they can do it is if they start putting marquees on the infield because there's literally no other room.
Okay.
That's 11,000 was crowded.
Yes.
You don't want any more there.
Right, right.
But the atmosphere was electric. Again, you've been there.
Oh, I love it. It is. I've been there three or four times. Yeah. I think you met the great Bob the Bear O'Reilly out at Hawkesbury.
He shook his hand.
A couple of years ago. Buckets of hand, big hands. Anthony Cummings will be on the program. A winner for him yesterday with Go Daddy Go. How about this? You get into a training partnership with your old man, then you just go on holidays.
He's timed that magnificently, Edward.
Well done, Edward.
No, it is his honeymoon.
It is his honeymoon. Yeah, we'll cut him a little bit of slack there. Race replays coming up. Scott Singleton, been a trainer for 13 years, only 33 years of age, but a winner for him yesterday was Shazzy Lee.
Great ride, Jay Ford, too. Wow.
Jay Ford, yeah. Jason Collett had some good rides yesterday as well. So, Gay Waterhouse, we'll speak to Gay. Peter Peters will be along for a chat about the world of rugby league. Gee, I've got to say, I was out there on Friday night. The Rabbitohs versus Manly. It was a bit of a reunion for the Rabbitohs.
Good.
Inside.
Manly, though. Gee.
Every time I looked up, Manly had the ball. Second time I looked up, they were scoring with the ball.
How good was Dylan Walker?
Excellent.
Gee.
Funnily enough, they asked us, all the ex-players, to form a guard of honour as the players ran out. So,
Manly, the guard of honour?
Yeah.
Oh.
Manly ran out first.
Honour for you, Jim.
Yeah, it is. seeing some legends there. Mm. Robert Laurie, big listener to the program.
Rocky Laurie.
Yeah, the great Rocky Laurie, 1980 Dally M winner.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
For the Roosters, wasn't it?
Freddie Pagano. No, he played for he's playing for the Rabbits.
Rabbits South.
He went to the Roosters the last 2 years of his career, 81, 82. Freddie Pagano, bit of a legend around the Sutherland Shire. I played for Newtown as well as the Rabbitohs. He was there. Good to see Freddie. But as we ran out, Manly, some of them ran through the middle of the thing. And Dylan Walker was one of the guys who ran through, and he was sort of saying good day to everyone because he's a former Rabbitohs player. And you think, oh, right, yeah, Dylan Walker. Cut him to shreds.
It was brilliant to watch.
Oh, dear. Well done, Sydney FC, our team, our boys.
Didn't they play well last night?
Yeah.
Oh, they're attacking footy.
I watched a fair bit of this, too. Phil Moss will tell us more about it. Mm-hmm. Fair bit of controversy.
Was there? Do you reckon they made the right call both times?
Well, I don't think the defender gets to him.
In the second one.
Yep. Or the second goal.
Correct. Oh, I agree with you.
Yeah. So, well, we'll talk to Mossy about that. Z&Z quiz. So we're looking for an update in the scores there. 10-6.
You skipped away again, Jim.
Spoke to Roger Ward during the week, father of Stephen and Mark.
And Dean and Danny.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
keep going.
Mention too. He said to me, what is it? Is it 9-7 or 10-6? I thought, what's he talking about? The time? We've moved times. We're now 7 to 10. And he said, no, the score in the quiz. I said, oh, 10-6, Roger.
It's a highlight of a lot of people Sunday morning, Jim, because invariably we make a complete meal of it.
Dave from Wattlegrove often...
He'll chime in and
give it to
us again. And I've got to say, quite rightly, so justifiably.
No, we're not saying he's wrong. We're just saying that he often points out our shortcomings.
Which is as I said, often justifiably so.
Yeah,
anyway.
And often on a week-on-week basis. 1353-53, by the way, if you want to be involved in the program, 1353-53 is that open line number. Get us on the SMS as well, 0419-SMS-BSB. That's 0419-767-272. And, of course, we'll have the tweets going as well. And you can get us on that too, at Big Sports WEND, at Big Sports WEND. Dean Bulldog Richie with all his latest news from the world of rugby league. Our legend of the game. This guy's a good un. I think we could describe him as a good un. Graham Wombat Eady.
Wow.
What a player.
First time I saw Graham Eady was...
Penrith Park?
Was, yeah. It was the day that Manly beat Penrith 70-7.
Yeah.
My brother and I were sitting on the old hill.
Yeah.
And I remember looking up at the scoreboard about 20 minutes into the first half, and the score was 3-2. Reg Walton had just got a penalty goal, and I thought, we're in the game here. And Manly's back line was Fulton, there was Brannigan, there was Eady, Ian Martin was 5-8.
Well, that was a premiership winning team.
It was just an awesome side, and came to shreds. And that was the day there was 3-point tries.
Yes.
And Eady got a try, kicked 14 goals
from
17 attempts.
Correct.
He couldn't miss that day.
Yeah, Graham Eady, 1973, 14 goals versus Penrith as well. So he'll be our legend of the game.
I was right, was I?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think? You're never wrong.
Oh, you're
except
kidding.
That time you mentioned the Don Bradman thing in the paper. That was that you? Was that a colleague?
It was a colleague, wasn't it?
Colleague,
me?
Yeah.
Remember we picked it up that Sunday. That's actually my boss. We won't mention
it. It's a great point, Ray.
I'd love to rob a bank with Ray Thomas. Tell you what. Who did it? He did.
I didn't mention his name and will not mention the person's name.
Nick Quinn from tab.com.au will be along as well. We'll get a sports update from Tanya. Mark Newnham, he had a good, impressive winner too yesterday. Lanciato.
He's got something today,
people. Stand by, Ray. By the way, why do you even wait for this? Let's tell people now. Not the tip.
It could be the mock.
Possibly.
But,
Ray, last week, first runner that you had lost, second runner that you had lost. Mm. I started following you at the at that point. Next runner, $6.50 winner. Final tip of the day, $10 winner. Thanks very much.
Are you a good thing? Yeah.
How good. So follow those tips.
Today.
You'll get them just before 8 o'clock today. Make sure you're sticking around for that one. And Scotty Foster will be on as well. Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. Lots of sport going on. What did you watch last night? There was something
Channel
for everyone.
Surfing everywhere.
Everywhere, wasn't it? The Waratahs.
Waratahs had a win.
Beat the Reds, 29-26. Then the games. The Titans, 38-8 against the Knights. The Knights led 8-6 at half time. Jared Hayne.
Mm.
When's the game? It's the 31st of May, is it? Origin 1. Book your ticket, Jared.
He's in the team.
Oh, absolutely. No problem. Bulldogs 16-10 over the Raiders. Well, I've got to say, that is one of the toughest wins I've seen. That is a win that you can build your season on. That is something that they were absolutely superb, the Bulldog supporters.
Minus so Graham and Reynolds' second half.
Exactly. Minus Graham for all but 14 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
Head injury assessment there. And the Tigers ended up going down to the Sharks. They had to do it tough, the Sharks. 22 points to 16 in front of 13,405 fans at Leichhardt. But again, James Tedesco, head injury assessment. And Aaron Woods, hamstring slash groin, but whatever it is, you would think no chance for the test match.
Correct.
And maybe even looking at Origin 1 and thinking, well, is he going to be right for that?
We're in May 31, are we? When's Origin
1? May 31.
Yeah. Can I take you back to Anzac Day, Jim? The reason I want to take you back to Anzac Day is because of the big game this afternoon, Storm versus Dragons 1v2.
Mm.
But back to Anzac Day. I know you were there because you were tweeting pictures of the lovely Smith family up on the grandstand.
Well, can I say we were there half a game, right, before the youngest Smith started falling asleep in his mother's lap about 20 minutes into the game.
Did you leave?
We had to leave at half time, and we watched it on telly in the...
Did you get home in time?
No, we watched it in telly in my office, which is just down the road.
Yeah, okay.
So we got to watch the game.
Okay. How good was it? How good was the pre-match... entertainment's the wrong word. The pre-match celebrations of Anzac Day was just fantastic.
Being there live, and I spoke to someone, they said...
It would be an awesome experience, wasn't it?
It can be better.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know this is going to sound like...
You're a hard man, Jim.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not being hard. And you know what I'm like. I try to love that sort of stuff as much as I can. But I thought, gee, I was underwhelmed by it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought the opposite anyway.
On telly it came through really well.
Okay. Yeah.
But just at the ground it was sort
of... All right. Well, the game itself, I thought it was one of the most compelling games of the season. Both teams were so willing.
Brutal.
Fantastic game to watch.
Yep.
Widdup's injury, obviously, I'm not saying would have changed the game, but had a massive impact on the Dragons. What's that going to do for their chances this afternoon against the Storm side, which just doesn't make any mistakes?
I don't like the chances of the Dragons this afternoon without Gareth Widdup. I think that's going to be very tough for them, despite the fact it's at Wind Stadium. But I think it's going to be very tough for them. So
I'm hoping they draw inspiration from what the Bulldogs did yesterday.
And I like the way that it's now the Roosters versus the Warriors. They flip it over because they've got the short turnaround. Yep. And I think Anzac Day next year is on a Wednesday. So it'll be interesting. Is that going to be the last games of the previous round, or is it going to be the first games of the next round? But anyway.
Okay, and another quick point I wanted to raise you is, as an ex-player,
yes,
just say you got the call up to play City Country.
Well, yeah.
And just say you did.
Yep.
And your coach
says
you're not playing because of the short turnaround.
Yep.
This has become a farce, hasn't it?
It is. It is farcical.
Absolute farce.
And to be honest, Ray, I like to be strong on things and have an opinion, and this one has split me.
It's a joke.
This one...
Don't play the City Country game if you're going to be like this. It's developing
concept. This is the last year of it.
And I think it's wrong. But
Mate, I'm with you. You're a country boy at heart, and I, being a country boy, I just think, you know, representing country would have been just... beyond my wildest dreams. You know, it just would have been sensational. And the great history that goes with the game as well. And so when I started hearing about Des Hazler and then Ricky Stewart and now Paul Green saying, no, we're not going to allow the players, and then I think Des's final stance on it was, we'll do it on a case-by-case basis, which is ridiculous. The fact that the New South Wales Rugby League and the National Rugby League can't do anything about it is ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Aren't they the controlling body of the sport?
But you actually listen to what Paul Green has to say, and you read it, and as a believer in that the players need appropriate recovery and that State of Origin need to be on standalone weekends. So this is as much related to standalone weekends for State of Origin as it
is for
City
Country.
Happen,
Jim?
Of course it'll happen. It's got to happen. It must happen. And if it doesn't happen, they'll have to change. It'll have a huge impact on player availability and so forth. There needs to be standalone weekends. There needs to be less games in the National Rugby League. All of those things must change. But unfortunately, right at the heart of it now, in the last year of City Country, it's going to be farcical.
It's just wrong.
It's going to be farcical. So it really is disappointing. We'll take your thoughts on that. I know we've got a lot of regional listeners, so we really want to know. An easy solution to it is, if there's no City Country game moving forward, then minimum six
NRL games, or even eight, in regional areas in New South Wales and Queensland. So each team, every second year, you have to take a game to the country.
Because the country city that hosts the city country games, it is a talking point out there for weeks and weeks and weeks. People prepare to get to the footy. I remember last year in Tamworth, Scully Park, my mum kept saying, I've got to get a ticket to go
Perfect.
To this game.
Absolutely.
That's what happens in those country towns. They love it.
And what is the impact on the local leagues? What is the impact on the youngsters there? What's the local economy?
The local economy.
Not that, from a national rugby league, you're worried about the local economy. It's an excellent offshoot to
Absolutely,
it, though.
Absolutely, yeah.
Really, really disappointing. So, again, take your thoughts on that. 13-53-53. The other thing, just quickly before we go to a break, Josh Reynolds signs a massive deal to go from the Bulldogs to the West Tigers. The whole transfer window, do we look at that? What are your thoughts, people? What are your thoughts, Ray Thomas?
I don't like it.
Do player transfers and signings mid-season devalue what's happening in that current year, and should it be tried to be done in a transfer window in
That's
an appropriate time?
That's the only option, isn't it, Jim?
Well, I'll let you know what Raylene Castle said yesterday. I spoke to her about that exclusively for Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, and it's very interesting the point she brings up. She says in a game like AFL, it doesn't matter. If you're going for so there's really only three positions you play. Mm-hmm. Forward, midfielder, back. I mean, that's a simplification of it, but in rugby league, where they're so specific to whether you're a fullback or a halfback or a hooker, if you miss out on that in the transfer window, if you're saving your whole season and you miss out on that player, then that can ruin your roster for years to come. And in saying that, in all those other sports like the NFL, you miss out on your quarterback that you want. You've got to have plan B, plan C, plan D, and
AFL
plan E.
Coaches will argue that.
Oh, but anyway, take your thoughts on that. 13-53-53, the open line number. We'll take our first break. We'll be back with more, including your calls on that number.
Excuse me, mate. Does the next train stop at Wynyard?
Oh, yeah. It goes all the way to payday. Because I just came up with the goods on a 10-leg multi. Stuff the train. We're getting a limo.
Cool, man. You're good to swing by Wynyard, yeah?
With the new Check and Collect feature on your Tab app, you can now check your ticket and collect the winnings anytime, anywhere. Gotta love a public display of betting affection. Tab. We love a bet. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
April is 5% extra discount month at astivita.com.au. That's a further 5% off the already discounted prices of up to 70% off on wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware, vanities, toilet suites, basins, baths and fridges. 2-year warranty, over 50 service locations and free delivery to most areas. astivita.com.au. That's astivita.com.au. Use the word radio for your extra 5% discount at astivita.com.au.
An absolute joy to be here. A little mini classic early in the season. Pickett gets his second goal. Creases that mark. And the goal to be 2-2.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Jimmy, SMSs are flying, and this one's thank you, Ray and Jimmy, for my movie tickets, which I have received. I really thought I was going to be put in the sin bin. That's Judy. We wouldn't put Judy in
Should
the
have
sin
been.
Bin. No.
Should have been in the sin bin.
And a really important point, John from Moorbank. Jimmy and Ray, I wonder if you'll hear from Adrian this morning. Got to give some credit where it's due, the Bulldogs yesterday.
Oh, and by the way, well done to Aidan Tolman. Played 80 minutes last night in an inspirational performance for the Bulldogs. That one's
good,
just for you, Adrian.
Good.
By the way, there's a massive heavyweight boxing bout going on at the moment. Anthony Joshua versus Vladimir Klitschko. Joshua has knocked Klitschko down in the fifth round. It's at Wembley. There's 90,000 people at Wembley to watch this one.
He's got up there. He's
a star, that Anthony Joshua.
Fighting on.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we've thought we'd release our talk topic today, which we will do. Straight after we have a chat to Anthony Cummings.
Yes, and I wanted to chat to Anthony because I thought we saw a pretty promising two-year-old yesterday, Jim, in Go Daddy Go. I think it was a really tough effort to win the Clarendon Stakes. Anthony, good morning. Congratulations, Percy, on the win yesterday. And I sense after the race that you've got a pretty good opinion of Go Daddy Go.
Yeah, it's pretty nice horse. Pretty bit raw along the way. It's taken a little bit of time to work it out. And also, just like all the Uncle Rose, they might wear traps. So. first wet track, or it was a dry track rather, we've had this there for quite some time, and we've got full vision for the sake of that.
Yeah, a bit frustrating, isn't it, Anthony? Obviously beyond your control, though. And I think there was a point there where you thought, well, maybe you just tip him out for a spell because he can't get those tracks. So how close were you to doing that?
Oh, he was booked on a float.
Right.
And then sort of sat there and thought about it, went and had another look at the long-range weather forecast and looked at the programs and saw that there were some meetings going to be away from sort of Rose Hill and then Randwick, which copped the worst of all of the rain and the tracks for the sake of the traffic. So elected to wait, take the odds to it, and at Randwick and working on the dirt, quite a firm surface, he continued to work really well and up to the standard that's required to be, you know, well, winning yesterday certainly, but taking a step beyond that once he starts to work himself out. So pretty pleased we hung in there.
Anthony, how's he pulled up this morning, Go Daddy Go, and is Brisbane still in the back of your mind?
Yeah, it's pretty full of time, and certainly it's there. I mean, you know, I watched that concern is exactly what the track was like yesterday. I'd be very interested to hear what the reports are about that. Because, you know, the main target obviously would be the Atkins, the mile race there at, in the first week of June. And if the track's, you know, not up to snuff, well, we might pull up in a bit earlier. But he'll certainly have another run here in Sydney, I think, before he goes. And hopefully, you know, another dry track. But if we're not going to get that, I'll just pull the pin and have him back in the spring.
Bought him at a ready-to-run sale. Liked his body shape. What was it about that, Anthony?
There was a strength. He was a bit unusual, a bit different to the other Uncle Mo's that I bought. Most of them tended to look like they're going to be sort of tall and angular, a bit like Man from Uncle. Good another couple of fillies a bit that way, and they're really nice fillies. And Colt Brake is sort of wrapped in those that he's dealt with here so far. Bought a few this year. So,
right.
You know, he was a little bit different, but you know, he had Zavit sitting down, I think, in his fourth generation, and his body shape was not dissimilar to his, and that made it a very easy thing for me to sort of buy into. You know, he's a great result for the stable Zavit over a few years, and that this guy can get out to a distance, and certainly the way he races, and his demeanour tells you that he's going to get out over ground. You know, it really does open up quite a lot of opportunities for him.
You know, a lot of upside there. Anthony, get a chance to talk to your co-trainer last night, who's honeymooning in Hawaii, Edward, and just giving the good news.
No, mate, I think he was deep in a Mai Tai somewhere, so it's a bit hard to unscramble.
Anthony, when negotiations came about for Edward to join the team?
We asked the hard questions, Anthony, get ready for this.
Did he throw in the fact that, look, very shortly thereafter, I'll be taking off for a period of time, albeit to celebrate his honeymoon, and we congratulate him on that and wish him all the best. But, gee.
Some of those things were there, but certainly there were some alterations to the cash flow for the sake of it. So it's all
and just finally, Anthony, you made mention yesterday, finally back onto a good track. It was great to see, and a big crowd out there at Hawkesbury again. This meeting just works, doesn't it?
It really does, you know. You know, we've had a lot of racing and tough racing too, you know, this time through at the two main tracks. And just to sort of get out and something different, and there was great grass cover on the track, and, you know, the guys there have done a really good job, and it raced really truly. You know, the horses on the rails sort of hung in there, and leaders hung in, the horses came back in the field and wide, and it was just great to see what looked like a very fair track, and a good grass cover and great racing.
It was, yeah. And one of our listeners, Eagle-eyed Phil, has asked us to ask you, Anthony, what you thought of Screamer's run at Morphettville yesterday.
I was disappointed with the result, but he finished up 3D for the trip. He followed the leader, but, I think there's a lot of reasons why he might have run that way. I'm not quite sure which ones are the right one, but certainly wouldn't drop off him going towards a derby.
Fantastic. Good on you, Anthony. Appreciate that. The listeners appreciate it as well. Thanks very much for your time early on a Sunday morning, and well done yesterday with Go Daddy Go.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
Anthony Cummings here, doing it all on his own because his son Edward's on his honeymoon, so this training partner.
You can cut him some slack, too.
Yeah, we can do that, yeah. Once in a lifetime. I was going to say once in a lifetime. For some people, it's a bit more than that, isn't it? 1353 is the open line number. Give us a call if you'd like. Our talk topic for today.
It's inspirational by you, Jim Smith.
Well, I saw it last night at Leichhardt Oval, which in itself is a little bit retro, isn't it? Leichhardt Oval, but Chad Townsend scored a try from chip over the top and regather. Brought back memories of Phil Blake and
Bobby
Steve
Fulton.
Turvey Mortimer and Bobby Fulton. So I thought to myself, what about things we used to see in sport, but we don't anymore? Whether it's rule changes or coaches not allowing players to do it. And so the thing that stuck, I remember the kicking duels he used to get in rugby league. Remember, I tell you what, Greg Brentnell, he was hard to beat in a kicking duel.
Remember Greg Brentnell? Yeah, it came before. What about there was a scrum one against the feed this round? Haven't seen that for a long, long time.
Is that right?
Yes. Friday night game.
There you go.
And what about wooden tennis rackets? Beyond Borg at Wimbledon in the mid-70s. You never see that anymore. Unless you got one stuck in the shed in the backyard.
That's right. That's right. Remember the tennis racket covers used to have the wood thing?
Oh, with the little clamp thing.
Clamped them on,
that's right.
Must be to keep them in shape or something, was it?
I had a Dunlop. Was it Max Ply, Rod Laver, picture on it?
Oh, Rod Laver, racket. Shocked me. Could I say that you be an exponent of the serve volley? Were you a serve volleyer?
No, I wasn't.
Weren't you really?
No, there's a reason for that.
Why is that?
Do you want to go?
Yeah, come on. I'll tell you
just
what.
Just give you more ammunition.
You know what people have done at home or they're in their cars? Mm-hmm. They've just leant forward a little, Ray. Why didn't Ray ever serve volley game?
Okay, I had double-handed backhand, but I served right. I serve right.
Yeah.
And I hit left. That's cool.
Genuine weirdo.
You can't say that.
You're the schmuck. Yeah, that's right. You can't work out who the schmuck is.
I'll get mixed up. Like kick left footed.
Ken Rosewell
used
to. Didn't Ken Rosewell do it? He told us in the legend of the game.
He did. That's right. So I'm in good company.
You're in good, great
company. Exactly. Yeah.
Old Muscles Russell.
Kenny and
Muscles
I.
Thomas.
We go back a long way, Kenny and I.
1353-53. So things you don't see in sport anymore. Chip and chase. Well, you do, because you saw it last night at Leichhardt Oval. Oh, Doug's on the line. G'day, Dougie.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Morning, Doug.
Very well, mate.
How's your DVD going, Jimmy?
Doug, we watched it last week. Can I tell you? We watched it. I sat down with the boys and the girl, and we watched. It was WWE Raw.
And he loved it,
2009.
Doug. Right. He loved it, Doug.
Doug.
Mike Cole, yeah.
I can't believe the theatre of it. It's just ridiculous.
That's his nice way of putting it, I think.
Oh, mate. I knew it was contrived. But, oh, my goodness.
Matt Mullen, I was going to talk about. You reckon he's up to scratch anymore with Penrith? Or he's trying his heart out?
I thought his second half was fantastic.
Yeah, and I don't think he's... I don't know what's happening. Why don't they give Mitch Rayner a bit of a run?
Well, firstly, on the first point, I thought Matt Mullen's second half was fantastic, Jim, and he tried to lift that side almost single-handedly.
He's tried all year, Ray.
I know. He needs a few more mates, though. So.
Yeah. There's something not quite right out there at Penrith. Yeah. I don't know what it is, because they absolutely had him running off their feet in the last 15 minutes, but you think, well, where was that? Yeah. Where was that when the game's on the line? It wasn't there. Matt Moylan is a State of Origin quality player, and probably will play State of Origin this year, and might be just one of those players who appreciates not being into a team environment and not being captain.
And not being
focused
on attention.
Yeah.
And Johnny Pidd's pretty good too, you know, with the bombs and everything he puts up over him. I knew Johnny for years. He used to do weightlifting with him.
Johnny Pidd. Okay, well, we still see bombs in the game, but we get your point. Doug, good on you, mate. Have a good week.
You too, Jimmy.
Thanks, Doug.
There he is, Dougie. We appreciate his call every Sunday morning, 1353-53. Chris is on the line. G'day, Chris.
How you going, guys?
Morning,
well,
mate.
Another one, I guess, is the old wedge. Remember the wedge?
Yeah.
Rugby league.
Did Jack Gibson bring that in?
Yeah, Jack Gibson brought it in. I think Higgs was the guy that was usually the guy who was going to try and score the try from the wedge.
Well, if that was the fact, then it must have been Terry Fernley.
Terry Fernley in the mid-70s.
Yeah,
Terry Fernley, yeah.
I can picture a rooster.
The wall, Jack Gibson. But I think Jeff Robinson ensured that the wall didn't go ahead anymore because he absolutely creamed Peter Sterling.
That's right.
And then there was the classic ball up the jumper.
We were talking about before, Dave Brockhoff.
Country rugby game.
I reckon it was 1974, 75, I reckon, Chris.
Yeah, so
they changed the rules because of that. So.
Look, I wanted to talk about John O'Shea and Godolphin and the split. Mm-hmm. And I think we're all a bit confused here. I guess, you know, Ray, there's been talk for a while about that there's not been a happy marriage in terms of, John O'Shea and Godolphin. But there's so much scuttlebutt at the moment. They haven't got a stable jockey, have they? They haven't got a trainer now?
Well, their stable jockey, unfortunately, James McDonald's on that lengthy suspension or ban, and James Dorr was summoned... Firstly, down to Sydney to ride for Godolphin. He's a world-class jockey from England, but then Godolphin and England have brought him back for their Northern Hemisphere summer. So I actually spoke to John last Monday, Chris, and he made that point that it's been difficult because he prefers to have his stable jockey. In saying all that, they've had a tremendous season. But Chris's point's 100% right, Jim. It was the talk of the track at Warwick Farm yesterday.
Who's going to get the gig? There's speculation today in the Sunday Telegraph.
Yeah, James Cummings seems to be the favourite. I tried to contact James yesterday. He was at a wedding, did text me back.
Right.
When I then replied to that text, he didn't reply to my question about the Godolphin.
So he's brushed you,
which
right.
is fair enough. No, I understand. Yep. Yep. Because this would all be commercial and confidence, all
sure.
this sort of stuff.
Sure, sure.
But I think, not being critical, I am being critical, I guess. Everyone was talking about it. Everyone was discussing it, commenting on it. There was a lot of scuttlebutt and, as Chris said, innuendo, yet nothing from those people on the ground. Just a no comment from the start of the day right through to the end of the day. And I think, in hindsight, Godolphin probably should have come out and made a statement of some sort
right.
to at least put some of the bushfires out, so to speak.
When does John's contract expire?
My understanding
is June.
June. Yeah.
Right, okay. And that'd be 3 years for him?
Correct.
Yeah, right. Interesting. Watch this space. It would be, it seems,
it can't
very
be
sought after job.
Well, it can't be on performance because he's had a tremendous season. Four Group 1s, nearly 200 winners and $15 million plus prize money. It's
right. And progressing better and better and better
correct.
As the years went on.
Yeah.
So it's not performance based. So.
Maybe John's does want to go back to training privately. Maybe just on his own. So maybe as a public trainer. Maybe just there's a lot of pressure in that job. Pressure is always on you to succeed. It'd take a greater man than me to do it. I don't know how a person like John Hawkes did it for so many years as a private trainer, you know, because you need to get those results, Jim.
Yeah.
I like everything in sport. I know it's result-driven, but the focus is on you each and every race meeting, whether it's Kembla or Randwick or Flemington.
Yeah, the famous blue colours. Who will be saddling them up after June 30? We'll take your thoughts on that. 13:53:53. Time for a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. You're listening to Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
This truly magical thoroughbred Abel Friend going to win the Champions Mile in an absolute hand canter. That's the world's best.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Korea.
The best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
Z&Z Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. And for over 20 years, they've been the source of the NRL's official watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. So if you want the official watch of your NRL team or engagement and wedding rings, corporate gifts, all types of remodelling and repairs, Z&Z's your place. See Z&Z at Westfield Hurstville or visit znz.com.au.
Proud sponsors of the St George Junior Referees.
It's John Snow racing to the lead in the Derby. He beat up Harper's Choice. Haddam is surging at them. John Snow in front. John Snow from Harper's Choice's game. John Snow, another New Zealand victory in the Derby.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. Jimmy's favourite part of the show, the race replays, were Hawkesbury yesterday. My favourite race meeting, Jim.
I know, you say
year.
That. Yeah.
I've every year.
It's good,
love
isn't it?
Hawkesbury. Over 11. Weather
good
was
crowd.
Fantastic.
Beautiful
crowd
day.
Excellent. Good morning to Rod and Greg Stanton, a couple of old schoolmates, footy mates I bumped into out there. Haven't seen them
how
for
good.
Years. So good morning to them. Go, Daddy, go. We just heard from Anthony Cummings. I thought he was terrific in the Clarendon Stakes. Jimmy, this is a race that should be a stakes race.
In the corner from So Bizarre, Icon of Dubai strides up to third. Go Daddy Go gets cracking. Further back to Dragon 8, fifth affair, and Charlie Chap to the outside. Serena Bay leads coming up to the 250 from Icon of Dubai. Go Daddy Go, and right down the outside is Charlie Chap. Fifth affair's coming off heels. Fifth affair's going after Serena Bay. Charlie Chap the outside. It's fifth affair. Go Daddy Go's flashing home at the end. Oh, not sure here. Go, Daddy, go. And fifth affair, Charlie Chap is close up on the...
Got it right, Darren. Yes, it was. $18 too for Go, Daddy, go. And as we just heard from Anthony, the float was booked to spell the horse. And now a chance to go on to Brisbane and continue running there.
The Hawkesbury Rush, another race I think, Jimmy, should be elevated to stakes status. Feline, she's a top-quality sprinter, took a terrific Hugh Bowman ride. She didn't want it any further than 1,100 metres, Jim.
300 out. That's a good idea in front from Cool Ring under plenty of pressure. Then Feline Straturbo running on further back to Palazzo Publico. Clearly Innocent gives away a big start. That's a good idea being tackled by Feline. Palazzo Publico the outside. It's Feline just in front near the line and Feline gets in. Feline's a three-way go for second. That's a good idea. Cool Ring and Palazzo Publico on the outside.
He always grabs on when he comes to town, doesn't he, Chris Lees?
He's had a fantastic season too, Jim. Yeah, he's just flying, Chris. As is Chris Waller. He's managed to turn this horse around. Shillelagh's form has been indifferent. Freshened her up. Brought her back to 1,300 metres for Godolphin Crown. Terrific training performance. Great ride. Ty England.
On the turn, Sweet Redemption swings in front of Daisy Doom. Brigadoon rides the inside. Then came Maternal Conchachi. And further back to Shillelagh making ground. Artistry still about midfield. Daisy Doom goes to Sweet Redemption. It's Daisy Doom getting to the front. Now Artistry's looking for a split. Oh, there's no run at all. And Shillelagh's coming down the outside. It's Shillelagh going to Daisy Doom. And Shillelagh got up to win it. Shillelagh from Daisy Doom. Conchachi third just in front of Zaritza.
So good performance there from Chris Waller, the trainer. We'll speak to Gay Waterhouse a little bit later on in the program because Fabrizio did something similar. Now, we heard Anthony Cummings talk about the dry tracks. You start looking at the venues, so you've got Hawkesbury Scone coming up
in two weeks.
A bigger track there, and then you start looking north to Brisbane, as well.
And Shillelagh and Daisy Doom potentially could go to Scone for the Mayor's race. They're certainly in good form. This was a great ride by J40. He was last inside on the fence, come into the straight. I thought, Whit can't win. Jay Ford found a way on Shazzy Lee in the guineas.
And further back, the Sprite is hunting through on the rails into the straight. It's good standing in front from Rosa Carolina. Sprite's going up the inside. Calander needs room. Prompt response goes to good standing. Sprite the inside. Calander can't get a crack at the Nord Generalissimo. Tycoon Ma still there. It's prompt response in front. Boy, there's some adversity behind. Prompt response in front. Here's Shazzy Lee flushing home with Sal Sonic. Shazzy Lee hits the lead, and Shazzy Lee got up to win the guineas. Just ran down prompt response. I think Sal Sonic third, followed then...
Did well to pick that one, Darren, because they were spread out across the track, and Shazzy Lee, you could see that there was on the straight, in the straight at the back, and then you went, right, that gap, nut closed, that gap, nut closed, that gap, nut closed. So well done, Jay Ford.
Reward for perseverance.
And we're going to speak to Scotty Singleton very shortly.
Yeah. If you backed Artistry in the Golden Crown and Calander in the Hawkesbury Guineas, don't write them off, because both those horses had that much luck, Jimmy. Zero. Hawkesbury Gold Cup, Fabrizio. This was a terrific front-running ride. Another great training performance, turning Fabrizio's form around. He ran good time. He was just too good in the Gold Cup.
Moa's coming off heels now to make an early challenge, straightening up. Further back to Aubrey Tester Shadow. Then Mighty Lucky, Duke of Valentinois, Pajaro's pulling out. Kellyville Flyers getting wide. They're all fanning to get their chance. Moa races up to Fabrizio. Clear then from Famous Seamus. Just behind them, Spectroscope's coming through with Vambra. And further back to Mighty Lucky, it's Fabrizio still in front from Moa. Fabrizio from Moa. Fabrizio in front near the line. And Fabrizio wins the cup. Fabrizio first. From either Vambra, Moa, or closing off out.
Typical Waterhouse slash Bot run in gets to the front, up on the speed, absolutely.
I think he was headed halfway down the straight.
I agree.
That by Moher.
Yeah. We were talking at that before we got on today, didn't we? Yeah. Ran last in the Villiers with lacerations, 12th last start, but again, gets
bog
to
track,
dry track.
Weight,
dry track is going to be key. And we'll speak to Gay Waterhouse
on top of the ground,
a little bit later on in the program as well.
The Brisbane Carnival Stone Warm-Up Victory Stakes yesterday. Quality sprinter from Bjorn Baker's stable, Music Magnate, resumed. He was pretty good in the Victory Stakes. He set up for a big carnival.
A turn for home in the Victory Stakes. Music Magnate led by a length here from Takedown, peeling out as Hofgarten. Sony Legends over on the inside from his Covergirl and Tumbler, but the leader is Music Magnate, led by about three lengths now from Takedown, Hofgarten. Sony Legends in the next one from his Covergirl and Tumbler. Music Magnate went by the furlong pole, about three lengths in front from his Covergirl, Hofgarten on the outside, and then Takedown, Sony Legend. Music Magnate's in front, Hofgarten tries about two lengths away. Music Magnate goes all the way, wins it well by a length and a half to Hofgarten, third Miss Covergirl, and fourth the takedown from Sony.
What do you think is the plan for Bjorn Baker and Music Magnate? Have a look at that.
Doomben 10,000 next in a couple of weeks.
Music Magnate's had success in Brisbane previously.
Won a group one last year. Really good return to form. He's a quality horse, though, Music Magnate.
That's right. Would he be best in stable
For Bjorn, absolutely, yeah. Group one horse, yeah. They're hard to find, and he's a genuine group one sprinter.
Things we don't see anymore, right?
Your talk topic's going bananas.
Female teenage sensations in tennis. There was a whole heap of them in the 90s, including Capriati, Hingis, the Williams sisters, then in the noughties, Sharapova, Ivanovic and Wozniacki. Regards, eagle-eyed Phil.
Lovely Tracy.
No, Battler is a teenager, but anyway. here's another one. Hi, boys. City v. Country. Hasn't been fair dinkum for 10 to 15 years. I've lived in the bush my whole life and would much rather see an NRL match played locally than City v. Country. That's from the Denman Devil.
There you go. And that's your point. Take 6, 7, 8 games to the bush each year.
Cootamundra at Fisher Park hosted a NRL match between the Gold Coast Seagulls, Chargers, in 1997 versus the Canberra Raiders. They still talk about it. 1997, that's 20 years ago, right?
That's your point. Taking the bush. A couple more. I like these ones. This one's from Judy. Keith Barnes and Clive Churchill's kicking duel. Can't remember the year, but I was there. Clive was the winner of the most built-up duel.
There you go.
From Judy. Yeah, that would have been, what, 50s?
Yeah.
Yep. And yeah. I like this one. This one's from the People's Publican at Queanbeyan. Things we don't see in sport anymore. How true is this? A beer and a bunger in the shed after the game.
True. And it's not that long ago, let me tell you. It's not that long ago that that has been pushed out of the game. 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more shortly.
April is 5% extra discount month at astivita.com.au. That's a further 5% off the already discounted prices of up to 70% off wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware, vanity, toilet suites, basins, baths and fridges. 2-year warranty, 50 service locations and free delivery to most areas. astivita.com.au. Use the code RADIO for your extra 5% discount at astivita.com.au.
Breezy, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man shaking it. See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
Buy 3 weeks worth of the man shake and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the show, G. Talk topics flying, G. Here's one from Milkman. Yes, what we don't see in sport anymore.
What's that?
Sideburns.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
And I remember these days, Jimmy and Ray, one thing you don't see at the footy anymore, peanuts in the shell and sugar-coated nuts.
Yeah.
Remember that? Bloke walking
around? I don't, yeah. But because I didn't really go to games because I was out in the bush, but I had a mate who grew up going to Cumberland Oval, and he used to say all the time, peanuts in the shell.
Penrith Park on the wing. Yeah, I'm on the hill. It's there for all the time.
There you go.
This man had a great day yesterday. Fantastic to see. A local win, very popular win by Shazzy Lee. It was some sort of effort.
Oh.
But he
right.
was cool and calm after the race because he felt if she got the runge in, she had the explosive finishing burst to get up, and she did, Shazzy Lee. Scott Singleton, good morning. Congratulations. And, well, you were pretty cool after the race. You felt, provided Jay could get the run on the filly, she could still get the job done.
Yeah, no, thanks, guys. That's the way to ride it. The later she gets out, the better she seems to go. So sometimes that can be a bit hard to watch, but it all worked out yesterday, you know.
It was getting late yesterday, Scott. There was Jay. We were talking about the just before with the race replays, and he seemed to have three goes. Of course,
trying to find
the fence last coming into the straight. But so from what you're saying is it's actually worked out perfectly for the horse.
Yeah, that's the way you got to ride it. You sort of nearly got to, you sort of want to be held up. You know, it's usually the opposite with horses, but you almost want to be held up and just kept smothered away until till the last minute on her. But I think they did roll along pretty quick yesterday because she usually travels quite firm, even though she's back in the run. But she was sort of off the bit chasing a lot of the way, so I thought at least they must be going along a little bit, you know. So that'll give her a chance of getting over the top.
Mm.
Yeah, Scott, everyone had it down as a wet track, as you were saying yesterday, but you were so happy to see a dry track because that gives her the opportunity to unleash that finishing speed.
Yeah, well, I wasn't fussed either way. I suppose the thing about wet tracks is you can take out those horses that don't handle it, but I still think before yesterday her best run was when she ran second here at home, and it was dry that day, so it just so worked out that the two times she'd won it had been wet, but it was just circumstance more than anything.
Mm. Trackwork had given you a lot of confidence. I think $61 was in the end the price. Did you get a little bit of that, Scott?
I'm not a big punter, mate, but
okay.
A few of the staff, I know, had a good day, and my missus was quite happy last night, so I think she had a bit of a pet. But
okay, that's important.
I'm just happy to see him win.
Yeah, and just to let you know, there are representatives of the Australian Taxation Office that do listen to the program. No, they do. They're fair dinkum. So, mate, don't worry, Scott. We're very careful about what we say on this program.
Hey, Scott, how did she pull up, firstly, the filly? And Scone, is that in the back of your mind or potentially Brisbane?
No, I think, look, it was the main sort of goal was the provincial championship final, and it wasn't necessarily an afterthought yesterday, but she pulled up that good. We thought, we'll go there, but I don't want to sort of, go to go that little bit too far, and then you sort of wish you had tipped her out while there was something left, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think unless she sort of, unless I'm ecstatic with her the next few days, I think she'll go to the paddock and probably look after her a little bit and bring her back and just try and target a few of those fillies and mares races that are just like the group threes and stuff like that, you know.
Plenty to pick from. Yeah.
I think you got your license when you were 20 years of age, so you've been doing it for a little while now, Scott. Big win for the stable. What does it mean when you have a win like this that garners the publicity that it will?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big thrill, mate, because the way Sydney racing is, you, at times you feel like it's impossible to get a good horse, you know.
Yep.
It's that competitive, but when you've sort of been chipping away at it for a while, I'll definitely appreciate it, because I know how hard it's been to get one good enough to win a race like that, you know.
Yeah. Well, what is the story? Where did you get Shazzy Lee?
I've been training for Dr. Max for since I started. He's pretty much the first horse I ever trained. That was where I spelled it at his place, and then he sent me a horse. So I've had horses for him for a long time, and he just breeds all his own. So he's just one of the babies that he had come through, you know.
Yeah, right.
And he's been with you from day one and stuck solid, which is great. And it was a popular hometown win, Scott. It was tremendous to see. And look, I think you've got a filly of the future who you can have a bit of fun with in the spring.
Yeah, no, provided she stays sound and everything. I think we'll look after her now. She's only lightly raced, so you'd think she'd have to come back at least as good, you know. So as long as we don't try and aim too high, I think we'll keep having a bit of fun with her.
Yeah, fantastic. Good on you, Scott. Well done yesterday.
No
Congratulations
worries.
On the win, and appreciate your time this morning.
No worries, guys.
Thanks so much, Scott.
There he is, Scott Singleton, with that winner yesterday, Shazzy Lee. Interesting. Look after the horse, tip her out, and away you go. Just an update. Anthony Joshua has knocked out Vladimir Klitschko in the 11th round. That massive fight in front of 90,000 people at Wembley, and he was in trouble too. He was in trouble. Klitschko fighting back in those later rounds. Had knocked Joshua down.
That's an upset, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'd love to know the tab.com.au prices on that, but I'd have thought Joshua might have started favourite for that.
Is that the end for Klitschko?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. You'd think so. What is he, 40-odd?
He's getting close, isn't
he? Yeah, I think so. 1353-53, the open line number. Tony is on the line, wants to have his say. G'day, Tony.
How are you, boys? All right?
Yeah, good morning, Tony.
Yeah. First of all, love your work. Great hearing you on a Sunday morning, especially if I've got to work too.
Come on, you
Where do you work, Tony?
I just drive a truck, mate, between Wollongong and Sydney.
Has it got a CD player in it?
Yeah, mate, yeah.
Go on, Ray.
Which one you reckon? Are you an Elvis fan, Tony?
I'll tell you, my wife would love it.
She's okay.
Coming your way,
mate.
Perfect.
Brownie points for you, Tony.
Yeah.
The wonder of you, and if I can dream with Elvis with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. Of
courtesy
course he wasn't there.
Courtesy of Sony Music.
Coming your way, Tony. Hey, Tony, you won't talk about City Country?
Yeah, mate, yeah. I've thought for a couple of years, like it's slowly been on the outer.
Mm.
I know a few of the country guys have been ringing up today, especially about how they love the club games. But, you know, like they talk about State of Origin. They want to have it standalone and no club games. Why don't they get a competition going with the Queensland and the New South Wales and the Kiwis, all city country, and, you know, that'll give them all, you'd have five rounds of football, three games a weekend. You could almost have the State of Origin standalone and maybe even play a final for the other one as a curtain raiser in the last game?
I think we want to have less football for our elite players. That's a problem. In saying the standalone rounds for State of Origin, you could add a lot of product with those rounds. Like, there's not just the one game on the weekend. You've got the rep round coming up next weekend where you've got Fiji, PNG, Samoa, Tonga, England all in action. So I think there's opportunity to play games with those guys. I am adamant that there must be a New Zealand equivalent of State of Origin soon.
Why
at some
that
stage.
Happened?
It's got to happen. It's just compelling product that would be really, really popular. And let me tell you, a lot of clubs look at... So, for example... Jason Taumalolo signs a 10-year deal as a forward with the Cowboys. And one of the reasons they do that is, well, they know he's not playing State of Origin.
Mm. Yeah, very good point.
You know, if you're a really high-class player, you're going to play State of Origin, unless you're a Kiwi. And then it changes things a little. Mm. So, something to consider. Good call, Tony.
Yeah,
good on you, mate.
Call. This talk topic of yours has gone gangbusters. The city country particularly. This is from Bob from Tamworth. Mm. Cutting city versus country, one of NRL's worst ever decisions. In 2014, kids from Canambal schools came 50 kilometres to Dubbo to meet the players at an autograph signing session. Some country kids may never get to see an NRL game. Last year at Scully Park, Freddie Fittler, at the end of the city warm-up, walked over the fence and threw a training ball into the crowd for the kids watching the city warm-up. The opportunity for country supporters to be part of the week is now lost. Bob from Tamworth, really good point.
Part of the week. They can do it. Send the NRL team up there four days beforehand.
That's the outcall, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah, absolutely. 1353 is the open line number. We better get some scratchings, get an update on that. For the first time this morning, we say good morning, Tan.
Morning, boys. Good morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Tamworth Cup Day and Nowra. Starting with Tamworth, where the weather is fine, the track is soft 5, the rail true, and 21 scratchings. Race 1, takeout number 5, Kenny Wynn, 8, Settlers, 17, Dylan Starr, and 18, Nearly There, 5, 8, 17, and 18. Race 2, number 3, Answer, 10, Red Ann Lane, 17, Bachelor Degree, and 18, Lucky Rhythm, 3, 10, 17, and 18. Races 3 and 4 are clear. Go to race 5, take out 6, Fast Ali, and 8, Exotic Art, 6 and 8. Out of race 6, 11, Lyric, and 13, Dashiel, 11 and 13. Race 7, number 1, Been Along Road, 9, Mischievous Devil, 10, Braces, and 16, Careless Choice, 1, 9, 10 and 16. And race 8, take out 2, Nicobel, 15, 7, 10, Split, 16, Clipperholic, 17, Fast Ali, and 18, Cut the Mustard. 2, 15, 16, 17, and 18, out of race 8 at Tamworth. To Nowra, the weather is fine. The track is soft 6. The rail is out 5 metres from the 1100 to the 800, and then 3 metres from the 800 to the 350, and we have 11 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Go to race 2, take out 2, Bramwell, number 2. Race 3, number 2, Miss Demi Monde. 3, Nevada Mo. 4, Missile Attack, and 5, Smart Remark. 2, 3, 4, and 5 from race 3. Race 4 is clear. Out of race 5, number 8, Cool Baby, and 9, Daphne Dynamite, 8 and 9. To race 6, take out 1, Ribs, and 11, Oiesa, 1 and 11 out of race 6. And race 7, number 2, Therese, and 7, Queenian, 2 and 7 out of race 7 at Nowra.
Right. And best bets today, Jimmy.
Oh, you're on fire.
1, Tamworth Cup Day. What a deep mean this is. Great day for Tamworth Cup Day. Race 2, number 1, School Fee.
Oh, yeah.
Timmy Martin will be really hard to beat.
Concerned for a lot of people.
And at Nowra, yes. Came in the last, race 7, number 5, Exotherm.
Yes.
But
okay. All right, go on, release it.
There's a horse in race 5.
Release it.
Number 5, right. Victory Anthem at Nowra. Fair income, Jim. I know you can only read so much into a barrier trial. It won its trial on the Warwick Farm Synthetic by 14 and a half lengths. It was incredible.
Yeah.
I think it'll make a winning debut here for Mark Newnham. Race 5, number 5, Victory Anthem.
Right. You've been on fire with these tips, so I'm writing that down right now. And make sure your listeners write it down as well, too. And John Cartwright, if you're listening, write it down correctly this time. 1353, 53, the open line number. Let's quick call before we go to the news. Anthony's on the line. G'day, Anthony.
Good morning, boys. Listen, before I give you a word, we don't see anymore. Was it Rosal or Labor that that copied Ray with a left-hand serve?
It was Rosal that copied Ray, yeah.
Well, you remember a couple of months ago, Greg Alexander copied Ray with the change from the Pravina Topoka to around the corner kicking as well. Do you remember that?
Great.
You know what I'd best describe Ray Thomas as? A market leader. An influencer, I think is what they call them these days, Anthony. You better be quick, mate. We've got 30 seconds.
What we don't see anymore is the old Johnny Quayle, Johnny Colt style mousetrap from the scrum base. Remember them?
Yes.
No.
For them Parramatta days.
How old are you, Anthony?
I'm a bit older than you, just slightly older than.
Yeah, the mousetrap, wasn't it? Is that right, Anthony?
The scrum base, Quayle and Colt. And a couple of them just tried to copy, but they were the best.
Yeah, righto, Anthony.
Oh, no, yeah, I like it. That happen? Human Nature jukebox coming in.
Oh,
Anthony,
you're
I like
that's
it.
Unbelievable. Peter Peters next.
I'm Kim Cartwright. Victoria's opposition has accused the Andrews government of breaking its promise not to introduce or raise taxes by lifting the stamp duty on new cars. The tax rise will see the price of a new $20,000 car rise by around $200. Used car stamp duty will remain the same. The opposition's Michael O'Brien claims the increase will adversely affect road safety.
This new tax rise says to Victorians, if you want to buy a new car, Daniel Andrews is going to make it harder for you, so stay in your old car and be more at risk on the roads. This is an appalling series of broken promises.
Police are trying to contact a Brisbane woman whose father is being questioned over the apparent stabbing murder of her mother. The woman's mother, aged in her 60s, was found dead at a Stafford Heights home yesterday morning after her father called police. He was questioned yesterday as part of a murder investigation. Only the couple were home and no one else has been injured. A woman has been injured after falling from the third floor of a unit block when a balcony collapsed during a housewarming party in Melbourne's southeast. Firefighters and ambulance paramedics responded to the collapse in South Yarra late last night, extracting the woman from the rubble before she was taken to hospital. The woman, aged in her 20s, had her fall broken by trees, possibly saving her from more life-threatening injuries. Firefighters made the area safe and sealed off the entrance to the balcony. Investigations into disgraced Victorian MP Don Nardella will continue despite him arranging to refund almost $100,000 that he claimed in parliamentary perks. The state opposition called the repayments a secret deal and said the government should be doing more to hold Mr Nardella accountable. Shadow Attorney General John Pesutto said Nardella should be booted from parliament and the coalition will keep investigating the scandal because it still has questions about documents linked to the allowance. European Union leaders have promised to accept the British province of Northern Ireland into the bloc if the public votes to unite it with the Republic of Ireland. Future relations between Ireland and Britain have emerged as a key problem to be addressed during exit talks. Irish Prime Minister Enda Kenny asked fellow members to acknowledge Northern Ireland would automatically enter the EU should unification with the existing member state happen. Mr Kenny says neither the British or Irish government wants to see a return to a hard border.
We do not want to see a situation like we had before, where customs posts had to be militarised and brought with it sectarian violence and all of that. We've said that this is not going to be an easy situation, but the political imperative is that there be no return to the hard border.
Mass climate change protests are planned worldwide to mark the 100th day in office for US President Donald Trump. Around 15,000 people have already gathered in Washington to march from the lawn of the US Capitol to the White House, many carrying placards bearing slogans such as Planet Over Profits. Demonstrators say they were angered by the prospect of Mr. Trump carrying through on his vow to roll back protections put in place by his predecessors. Also in news, Australia is looking to buy anti-radiation missiles worth $183.7 million for its Growler aircraft fleet. This is Air News. Tigers coach Ivan Cleary has accused Cronulla skipper Paul Gallen of diving in his side's heartbreaking 22-16 NRL loss last night. James Tedesco was denied a four-pointer by the bunker in the 23rd minute after West Tigers captain Aaron Woods was ruled to have tugged on Gallen's jumper and taken out the Sharks veteran. It was determined the hole which Tedesco fired through next to the ruck was created when Gallen fell to the ground as a result of Woods' tug on the jersey. While there is no doubt the space for Tedesco to cross was created when Gallen was pulled down, Cleary said the former New South Wales skipper was guilty of theatrics and playing for a penalty. Adelaide Thunderbirds sank to a new low in Super Netball with a 51-48 loss to the New South Wales Swifts. In less than a quarter, the Thunderbirds, chasing their first win since the opening round, frittered away a commanding 16-10 lead against an inexperienced Swifts outfit in the midst of a six-game losing streak and missing skipper Abby McCulloch and deputy Paige Hadley. The Vixens also had a win over the Lightning, 70-59. Also in sport, North Melbourne scored their first win of the AFL season, defeating the Gold Coast 16-11-107 to 14-10-94. And the Lions beat the Western Force 25-15 in Super Rugby, and Sydney FC are through to the A-League Grand Final after downing Perth Glory 3-0. Australian Independent Radio News.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline. Favourite ice cream?
Strawberry.
Species of cat?
More of a dog man.
Movie?
Easy. Die Hard. All of them.
Huh. Okay. Your favourite horse to win this weekend?
Well, there's Wildfire. She's a great filly. Oh, and there's Black Truffle. She's a proven galloper. And you can't forget Suave fella. He always powers home. I mean, that's like...
Can't choose between the horses you love? Bundle all the runners you love in the one price. And if any of them win, you win with Tab's Bundle Bet. Tab. We love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
The new Samsung Galaxy S8 is on sale now at Bingley.
It's beautiful.
The screen is an infinity display from edge to edge, so even my mum can see more.
It has more power for people who never stop talking.
It has Samsung's most advanced cameras ever, so mum can take good photos now.
It has smart autofocus for line of selfies.
Samsung's highest resolution smartphone screen yet.
And it's water resistant too.
The Samsung Galaxy S8.
And Galaxy S8 Plus.
They're on sale now at Bingley.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, partly cloudy for Sydney today. Winds southwesterly 15 to 20 kilometres an hour, tending southerly in the middle of the day, then becoming light in the late afternoon, as you pointed out earlier. A 0% chance of any rain today, a maximum of 22 degrees, Raymond. Now, what about at Narraweena, which is just across the road from us here at French's Forest? And Narra, because they're running at Narra.
Yes, if you're waking up in Narraweena right now, it's 16 degrees. That's nice and pleasant. Looking for a beautiful day. Narra, racing at Narra this afternoon. Currently 14 degrees, heading for a top temperature of 22.
Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda,
the BT50 experts.
More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres.
At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Second hour is here and we are excited by it. Keep your calls coming in, 1353 53. Remember, we're looking for things that you don't see in sport anymore after the chip and chase try from Chad Townsend the other day. And there's a Bob from Tamworth blowing up. He said, look, it's more than 50 kilometres, Canamble to Dubbo. There was a mistake on that SMS. He has the exclamation mark. And so it's 150 kilometres. So just to clear that up. But he says, as for City Country, is there any reason why a lower grade game couldn't be played, e.g. New South Wales Cup Rep Team versus Combined Country Groups? Regards from the bus driver. Yeah, you could do those things, but I think people want to see the stars, don't they? If you want to, if you're going to the bush, you want to take your stars there. So... We take your point on that.
Interesting point, though.
That one, Bob. Sorry, bus driver. Talking about Bob from Tamworth. Zorba coming up very shortly. Gay Waterhouse will have a chat to her after a win of Fabrizio yesterday at Hawkesbury. Phil Moss will be in to talk about the 3-0 win for Sydney FC. We'll have our quiz and Dean Bulldog Ritchie as well. So it's a very full hour coming up. So let's get to him straight away. I know he'll have a lot to say, being a proud country boy himself, about what's happening with City Country. Morning, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
Morning, Pete.
It's sad, isn't it, the death of Sydney versus Country. We couldn't get one more out of the lemon without more drama. And look, I think the NRL's been pretty poor on this. They've sort of said it's not us, it's New South Wales. New South Wales aren't saying anything. Of course, Dave Trotton, his two bosses at the New South Wales Rugby League are George Paponis and Ray Dibb, who are both the bosses of the Bulldogs. So it's untenable, isn't it? I mean, when I think of City Country, I think of the great players that have come through this from yesteryear and even still around with us today, like Churchill and Ian Walsh and Graham Langland, Bob Fulton and Arthur Beetson.
Mick Cronin, Larry Coroy.
And they're the ex-test captains, some of the ex-test captains. And when I watched the Bulldogs last night on the back of brilliant games from the Morris brothers, showing courage and determination, and, you know, they're from Kiama. They got their chance in country football to start. I just think we're killing the game in the bush. I know we're going to try and take three games next year of NRL to the country.
Minimum.
I think that's, you know, I don't know, you know, how much that's going to do. I just don't think we're doing enough for it. It's sad. I can't give an answer. I mean, we've got Paul Green, Des Hasler, and Ricky Stewart now all coming out saying they don't want their players playing next week. Craig Fitzgibbon, the coach of country, may have to go to the New South Wales Intrust Cup to get players. It's just a terrible way to end it, but nothing lasts forever. I remember the last New South Wales Queensland game before State of Origin was at Leichhardt Oval midweek, and there were 1,500 people there. So there were no options, and I suppose this is the way the game's got to go, but we don't have to like it. It's very sad.
Yeah, Pete, you did mention potentially three NRL games. I know Jimmy's mentioned earlier this morning he'd like to see 6 to 8 NRL games going out to the bush each season. Would you get that many clubs be prepared to give away a home ground advantage?
Probably not, but I know. You know, I mean, the NRL run the game.
Instruct them to do it.
Tell them to do it. They should be telling them to play as well.
Exactly right. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that could happen in racing that don't happen, but if the powers to be order it, then it happens. Mm. And that's why we've got an NRL board, and they should be doing it.
Totally agree. You instruct teams to do it. And if they don't do it, I know we've got a big issue with clubs at the moment, but their licence agreement comes into play there. But that's just me. Now, Joey Leilua, I think we saw last night, and look, he wasn't alone in the Canberra Raiders, but why he won't get selected for New South Wales in the State of Origin. You agree, Zorb?
No, he shouldn't get selected. For some time now, I just don't like his attitude, and he looks like he's gone back to the slow Joey Leilua that was in Newcastle for so many years. He looked ponderous last night. He got left for dead a couple of times by the Morris boys, and his defence looked plasticine. No way he could get a call up to Origin. I think that's pie in the sky. And the Raiders last night looked ponderous in the second half. They just never got in that game. The Bulldogs were, you know, who would have believed that the Bulldogs without Aaron Woods. Aaron Woods. What am I
saying? Freudian. That's Freudian.
Yeah, it probably is. Without James Graham, their captain, and without Josh Reynolds, would come back in the second half like that, and it was a gutsy win by Des Hasler's side. Will Hopewadi, how good was he?
Unbelievable.
300 metres last night in his comeback game. Now his manager's shopping him around. But he's looking for a club that will allow him to have Sundays off, and I don't think there's going to be one. But I think if Des would love him to stay at the Dogs, but I don't think they'll cop the never on Sunday. So he can't do an Nana Muscuri anymore. He's going to have to play on a Sunday, and I don't know whether he'd be willing to do that. Mm. Currently, his big pay in NRL comes mostly from Parramatta, from his former deal there.
Yeah.
So, but what a great comeback last night. But very brave, the Dogs, and very poor Ricky Stewart's side, I thought.
Yeah, interesting. You know, and can I take you back to Friday night, Zorba? I think I text you, Manly, wow, they were brilliant to watch. And Dylan Walker was electrifying.
Yeah, he was. And the recipient of his brilliant play was his good mate outside him, unwanted at Newcastle, Aquila Uarte.
Yep.
Once again,
four tries,
there's a player that's, you know, having most of his pay paid by his former club. I mean, if he couldn't do something for that Newcastle side now, they were terrible last night in the second half. I don't know how long the honeymoon goes for Nathan Brown there. They say the right things, but they're looking as bad as ever. I thought the Titans were poor last night in the first half. They're a bit better in the second half, but they still put a lot of points on Newcastle. I can't see any light at the end of the tunnel for Newcastle. They're finding it hard to get elite players to go there. The only thing I can suggest is that, you know, they're going to have to rebuild from the bottom up. A couple of weeks ago, I told you about the kid with the best name in the in any sport in Australia, Bradman Best.
Yes.
Well, he scored three tries yesterday for a Newcastle Matthews Shield side that led 40-0 at half time in a preliminary grand final game against Canberra. They ended up winning by 50-16. And next week, Bradman Best will line up against the Manly Seagulls, who are in the grand final following a good win yesterday, albeit a close one against Parramatta. He'll line up against John Hopewadi's kid, Albert, who'll be fullback for the Manly Seagulls.
Big raps on Albert.
Yeah, big raps on him. Big raps on Benny Trbojevic too.
Oh.
The younger brother, lookalike of Tom Trbojevic, who'll be playing in the centres. That game will be at Leichhardt Oval next Saturday. It'll be a beauty. You'd have to say Newcastle unbeaten would be the favourites, but the young Seagulls are a crash hot side too.
Well, without being unkind, if you wanted to look like one of the Trbojevic brothers, you'd prefer... No, you
there.
Thought that
I did
you'd
not.
Prefer Tom than Jake, wouldn't you?
I just knew where you were coming, going with. He's a hard man, Pete, isn't he?
Jake's very cuddly.
well put.
Hey, we'll get this back on.
Just back to that thing about Nathan Brown. And I would describe Nathan Brown as a friend of mine. Yeah, because every time I see him, you know, a bit of history there, and we have a good chat. He handles the media better than most coaches, because he gets them on side, and in many ways, Zorb, that's half the battle.
He didn't handle the media too well when he slapped Trent Barrett's face down there in Wollongong.
When he did
that,
what?
The media.
Well,
Trent, yeah.
That's a 10-year ago version of Nathan Brown. I'm talking about the version that we have now at Newcastle.
Yeah, but you've got to win.
Oh, I understand that.
I mean, look, I can understand you're his mate, and nobody likes bagging a mate.
No, I'm not bagging. What I'm saying is, Zorb, so you look at someone like Steve Price, and you look at someone like Jason Taylor. Now, Jason Taylor's a mate of mine as well, but I don't think he handles the media well, and I don't think Steve Price handled it well. It doesn't mean they're a lesser coach than Nathan Brown, but they just don't cop the flack that Nathan Brown cops. Didn't cop.
Well, Nathan Brown, I've got to give him this. He's open and honest and upfront.
Yep.
And even though he's in pain, he smiles. And that's enough.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Hey, you saw a massive game this afternoon. If Paul Vaughan maintains his form and holds his own against the Storm pack, surely if Aaron Woods is in any doubt, Paul Vaughan comes in, doesn't he?
Well, Woods has got to be in doubt, and he has a history of hamstrings from way back in his career. I don't know why Paul Vaughan can't get a look in, but if he goes well today against Wairua Hargraves and the rest of the Roosters pack, then I don't think Laurie Daly can. And for some reason, I don't know why. I don't know whether it's a Canberra thing. We've got to remember that Paul Vaughan in Canberra couldn't get a start in that Canberra side. He was always a bench player. Despite the fact that when he came on, he made a heck of a difference. And I could understand that Ricky was using him as an impact player, but he's better than that. And he's shown it this year. He's been the form forward week in, week out, in the front row in the NRL.
Yep.
Forget Laurie Daly. Mal Meninga might have to use him, because Shannon Boyd didn't play in the second half last night. Now, he's the replacement for Josh Papali. So
who do you think's a better forward week in, week out? Shannon Boyd, Paul Vaughan.
Paul Vaughan.
We all agree.
Yep.
We all can't be that poor a judge.
No.
He's more mobile.
Yep.
Gets more minutes. Gets more work.
He's a terrific player. I want to see Vaughan get a start. I think he's deserved it, and he has done everything right. And I see he signed an extension. That's a good move by the St George Illawarra Dragons. So,
very good move.
That's good stuff.
Hey, can I ask you this question? It's something you talk about during the week, and people start picking their State of Origin side. Left second row, left edge player, Boyd Cordner, Wade Graham. Who do you go for, and what happens to the other one?
Well, I don't think that they should be actually pigeonholed on one side of the ruck. I think good edge players can play either edge. And for our listeners, you're either a middle player now or you're an edge player. I think just at the Roosters, Boyd Cordner is is perched on that left side.
Yeah.
And that's worked well for them. But there's nothing to say he couldn't play on the right. And the same as Wade Graham. They're both footballers, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And they can play where you put them. And I think if you said to them, listen, we want you in Origin, but you might have to play right edge. Which one of you puts your hand up? One of them would do that. If not, make the decision.
You might have both of them. Wade Graham's playing so well. Imagine the indecision he put into the Queensland halves. You see it week in, week out. He moves up quickly and nails the opposition playmaker.
He did that in the grand final with Cooper Cronk.
And he did it superbly against Matt Moore and Penrith.
I think you'll see both Cordner today stand up again. He's been great week in, week out for the Roosters. He has to be in the blue side. I think Wade Graham is, he's so versatile. He would be in my side as well.
I agree.
Would think that Laurie would go with him as well. It'll be interesting. I'd hate to see the fact that they're first on one edge for their club side cost them an Origin spot. I think we've got to pick the best players. I mean, we're going to play fullbacks out of position. We've got so many good fullbacks that we can pick a whole back line full of fullbacks.
Yes. Yep. No, there's maybe about four fullbacks out of position.
And it's all going to Zappers last week, Jim.
Not so good because he went to Bulldogs and they...
Bulldogs. I was a week early with him.
Yeah. Bounce back today, Zorb.
I'll bounce back today. What's the start in the Roosters-Warriors game?
It is -1.5, the Roosters. So +1.5, the Warriors.
Well, you know which way I'm going.
Yes, Roosters, -1.5.
Roosters. Pierce versus Foran today is going to be a great one. Both schoolboy mates.
Great mates, yeah.
Great mates. Kieran will be at the Dogs next year, coming back to Sydney. It's been just another eventful week in rugby league with Josh Reynolds. Who would have believed that he would leave the Bulldogs? I never thought I'd see the day. Peter Moore would turn over in his grave, I reckon, old Pete.
They made an offer, but they made him an offer that he thought, no, I can't accept that. So publicly, you know, from a PR point of view, they went, oh, no, we made him an offer.
Yeah,
but it just wasn't good enough.
Yeah. Des was always going to get four, and old Desi, he's been right there this week. He's fired everybody up, and he's got his side home against the odds, and it's interesting now. He wouldn't be liking, I know him so well, he wouldn't be liking all this flack he and the Dogs are getting over city country, but he's got some allies now in Paul Green and Ricky Stewart, so he's not the last man standing on that one.
No, dominoes are falling.
I like the Dragons, but Gareth Widdop, he's a top point scorer in the NRL. He too, another contract, and good luck to the Dragons. He's a great signing for them as well. I just can't see the Dragons beating the Storm, albeit at home. It'll be a terrific game. Mm. What's the start there?
-6.5.
Oh, 6.5. I think it's going to be closer than that. I think Storm to win the game, but Dragons to be under that margin.
Okay.
So let's go Roosters with the start, into the Dragons with the start for the Zappa today. And next week we've got all those games. I think some teams are going to have, I know at Manly, everybody bar the Queenslanders will be playing next weekend for either Tonga or Samoa or New Zealand or city or country. It's hardly a week off.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. More and more players getting involved, which I think is a good thing.
I do too, and I've got to say, Trent Barrett at Manly has said that this week, come out openly and said, look, we want our young players to get experience. We want them to get the voice of another coach. We want them to go into a training camp and see how they go. And when we're talking about Origin, what has Dylan Walker got to do to get a start?
Yes, he's playing well. Yes, he is. But I think Josh
reluctantly gave that half-high rap, Jimmy.
No, I told you he played so superbly on Friday, but I think Josh Dugan will be the right centre for New South Wales.
But he's a fullback.
Well, you just said it. They're going to be a heap of fullbacks playing in the back line.
Yeah, but I don't want all of them.
No, not if it comes at the exclusion of a Manly player.
You fired him up now, Zorb. He stood up. He's out of the chair. He's fired right up.
Yeah, well, something's got to stir him up.
Good on you, Zorb.
See you, boys.
See you, Pete.
There he is, Peter Peters. We've gone overtime, too. Get quick. Let's get to a break. Phil Moss is wanting to come on.
April is 5% extra discount month at astivita.com.au. That's a further 5% off the already discounted prices of up to 70% off on wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware, vanities, toilet suites, basins, baths and fridges. two-year warranty, over 50 service locations, and free delivery to most areas. astivita.com.au. That's astivita.com.au. Use the word radio for your extra 5% discount at astivita.com.au.
International racing at its very best, 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Breezy, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man shaking it. See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
My 3 weeks worth of the Man Shake, and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
It's English and Fell Swoop fighting it out. Chautauqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history. Chautauqua makes it three in a row. That is unbelievable.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. And Gay Waterhouse is about to join us here with Fabrizio, a tremendous winner in the Hawkesbury Cup yesterday. Gay, good morning, and firstly, congratulations. And he found his form yesterday back on top of the ground.
Oh, he certainly did. He really did. It was a Fabrizio of old. He's big, he's strong, and with Jason Collins in the saddle, he just gave him a merry chase, didn't he?
What was it previously? I know he had the bad run in the Villiers, and there was lacerations there. 12th last start. Was it just the ground, Gay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And look, this horse is so much more effective on a drier track, and we didn't have that over the carnival at Randwick. You know, we had a lot of rain leading into the track, into a race meeting. We didn't have very much drying weather, and the track just never dried out. Mm. And these horses, especially mine that race on the pace, just need that little bit of sort of firmness that they can really show their turn of foot.
Yeah, no, he showed it yesterday. Gay, we watched the replay, Jimmy and I, this morning before we went on air, and I swear the Godolphin horse, Moher, drew alongside and probably edged in front of Fabrizio, so he showed a lot of fight to fight back and win.
He said, right at the top of the stage, he found another gear. You see him change gear, and he really motors to the line. He'll go to Queensland on that win, and he'll go up there for the Chairman's Handicap. He'll be up in the weights, but he's a lovely, big, strong son of High Shap.
Yeah. And what about the distance that the horse could run? Could you stretch him out to the 2,000?
I think he'll run 2,000 easily. There probably is distances, 1,600 to 2,000.
Right.
But he's a, you know, he's a horse that's probably, that's about his level, what he won at yesterday and what we're aiming him for. We've aimed him at higher levels, like Group 1s, and he's just fallen short of it. And you know, as long as he can be winning these, Mr. Alpha Monty's over the moon. He was so excited yesterday, I can't tell you.
Yeah, no, it's good to see you. He's been a great supporter of racing for a long time, George Aldermonte. Gay, we saw the best of Fabrizio yesterday, but to be fair, we didn't see the best of Serena Bay. Was 1,300 metres a fraction too far for her?
I'm not sure about that, Ray. Yeah. I think that it was a very dawdling pace. I'm sure if you took the times on that two-year-old race, you would find that it was a very, very slowly run race. I think if she'd gone half a second faster, you would have seen a huge difference with her. I don't think she could quicken when they went that. You know, Blake rode her masterfully, but it may have just been a little bit too slow.
What are your thoughts on the standalone meeting at Hawkesbury? I know I've seen you out there previously. You always take runners there. It gives a change for, well, the spectators and horses, etc. There's talk about upgrading races in the next couple of years as well. Would you lend your support to that, Gay?
I think racing should be in Sydney. I should be on a Saturday. I don't think there should be any meeting out of Sydney on a Saturday because it stops your punters going. You need your punters going to the places they know where the races are going to be, and people like things to be in a set pattern. I'm really in support of Hawkesbury having a fantastic meeting. I'm really in support of Scone. I think Scone should be a one-day meeting. I think it's absolutely very weak two-day meeting. If you look at the card, the Friday's pathetic when you take out the Cup. The Saturday's not a bad race. But, you know, you need to really either make the really super-duper races where there's you know, not a 1-2-year-old race for restricted horses, but 2-2-year-old races, fillies races, colts and gelding, you know, really spice the program up if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, people like to go to the venues that they know that are on, and if they have to travel, they won't go, and you lose your punters, and that's what racing's about, betting. Mm.
Good point, Gay. I reckon watch this space for a couple of those races at Hawkesbury, Gay. I reckon they'll be upgraded. Hey, Gay, it was terrific to see Fabrizio back in winning form, and let's hope he can continue that through to Brisbane in coming weeks. Thanks for joining us this morning, Gay.
Thank you, mate. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Gay Waterhouse there. Sounded like she was at the fish markets or something.
And out and about shopping, yeah.
Some Goldie Horns for the afternoon. How good would that be? 1353 53 is the open line number. Just one here. Morning, boys. Just want to know how many weeks Paul Gellin is out for after that shocking attack on him by Aaron Woods last night. That's from Tiger Marty. Yeah.
Prevented the try. I mean, why
did they take that from him? That was wrong. I tell you what, that's something you didn't see in the past.
I reckon, you know what? Get the guys who did the video refs at the Sydney FC game to come and do the rugby league because they got it right last night.
We're going to talk to Phil Moss about that after the break, and we're also going to ask Phil Moss, what did you used to see in football that you don't see anymore? Because that's our talk topic for the day.
Your business premises really needs a fresh fit out, but the bank says no.
You need to move fast, but they still say no.
You haven't got time for paperwork, so they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not the deed to your house, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
Excuse me, mate, does the next train stop at Wynyard?
Oh, yeah, it goes all the way to payday, because I just came up with the goods on a 10-leg multi. Stuff the train. We're getting a limo.
Cool, man. You're good to swing by Wynyard, yeah?
With the new Check and Collect feature on your Tab app, you can now check your ticket and collect the winnings anytime, anywhere. Gotta love a public display of betting affection. Tab. We love a bet. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
Lano, you know what the 14th of May is?
No.
What should I tell the mother's group that?
Mum, I think you're a bit old for mother's group.
What should I tell the mother's group that?
Okay. How many are in it?
About 7 million.
Why don't you tell your mother's group this? From now till Mother's Day, on May 14, we'll have pink price tickets throughout Bingley. Each one is a special deal. And there's a chance to win a $1,000 shopping spree at Bingley.
You just told them.
I can't win.
I'm Yanda Lee, and I'm a proud mother. Sometimes.
For full details of terms and conditions, cbingley.com.au.
Are you ready for the 2017 Darley Scone Cup Carnival?
Friday, May 12, features the Cup, the English 2-year-old Challenge, and the Noel Leckie Country Cup.
Saturday, the 13th, is highlighted by the English 3-year-old Guineas, Emirates Park Dark Jewel Classic, and 4 listed races, plus fashion and fun galore.
Book your hospitality package or race day tickets now at sconeraceclub.com.au and beat trackside for City Class Racing Country Style. May 12 and 13.
I wonder whether Phil Moss will come in today. That'll be interesting.
I'm tipping
him in last
week. In the house.
Well, I hope so. Z&Z Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, they've been the source of official NRL watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. So, if you want the official watch of your team, or if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction, if you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, or if you want jewellery remodelled or repaired, see Alan. Good man, Al. At Z&Z Westfield Hurstville, or visit znz.com.au. That's ZEDNZED.com.au. Proud sponsors of the St. George Junior Referees.
To the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. What a performance it was. There was, 21,000 fans out there at Allianz Stadium, and there was a fair bit of controversy as well, but in the end the good guys got home.
And
Sydney FC,
the
right decisions were made, and the grand final's going to be at Allianz Stadium. How good's that? Good morning, Phil Moss.
Good morning, guys. Great to be here in the studio.
In the house. I told you we're here.
Just materialised.
And I was one of those 21,000 fans last night, and what a night it was. Yeah. It was an outstanding
game. How well
game
did they play, Phil?
Football. It was a great game.
Football was
brilliant. And you got to give credit to Perth. They came to play.
Right.
They were part of the spectacle.
Yep.
And even at 3-0 down by half time, they didn't give up.
Yep.
They were pressing second half. Mm-hmm. And credit to Kenny Lowe and his boys. But really, I think Roston Griffiths, the Perth captain, summed it up at full time. Sometimes you got to just applaud class, and that's what got Sydney home.
Two goals by the VAR, both correct decisions. Is that a fair call?
I think it was, and I'll tell you why. VARs can only intervene if there's an obvious error, and the obvious error for me was that Dino Djulbic was never going to get there despite Bobo's presence.
Correct. Yeah.
Right, now then it comes down to the age-old debate about benefit to the attacking team. So I think they got it 100% right. And it's fantastic everyone's got an opinion. It's fantastic everyone's talking about it. I don't think it was a deal-breaker on the night. And I think the VAR really got both the decisions 100% correct.
Mm-hmm. What about the state of the pitch? I was there on Friday night. I looked at it before the game and thought, knowing that Sydney FC had the game. Next week, there's a Waratahs game on the Saturday before the grand final on the Sunday. It's going to be even worse.
Well, you'd think so, but look, I thought Graham Arnold played it very smart the day before the game. He came out and said the state of the pitch is going to suit us better because our players are technically better than Perth's.
Thanks.
So he's turned it into a positive. And, and you watched Ninkovic last night and Alex Brosk and Brandon O'Neill, Brillante. Just take the central players for a moment, Bobo. It looked like they were playing on Wembley.
Right.
Honestly, I mean, the Perth players were definitely more affected by the pitch, probably because Sydney have played on that pitch many times when it's been subpar.
Yep.
And they were ready for it, but their technical ability is absolutely outstanding. They played some great football.
Great to watch. Any injuries, Phil?
Yes.
Yeah, Bernie Avini. Look, it doesn't look good.
He'd be out. Look at him, hamstring.
Yeah.
Gone.
That's a 10-day to 2-week minimum, I would imagine, which is a blow for Sydney, but it's not. It's not fatal, and that's with all due respect to Bernie, who's a great kid and a fantastic talent.
Mm.
Excites the crowd when he comes off the bench, and he is a weapon, but I believe they've got the depth to cover it. May give an opportunity to a young George Blackwood, who hasn't seen much game time this year, players like that. But, unfortunate for Bernie. You never want to see a player miss the biggest game of the year by suspension or injury.
Yep. I was there when Dwight York gave Stevie Corriker an assist for the goal in the 1-0 win in 2006. I wouldn't mind getting out there 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, I was there 11 years ago. It was the only time that Sydney FC have hosted.
He's fishing for a free ticket there, Phil.
I don't know who I'm talking to. Phil Moss, who's deep roots into football, or Ray Thomas, who can get into anything.
I can give you Dave Mason's number, mate.
Okay,
General Manager of Media and Communications at FFA.
I might hit up Arnie during the week. Hey, Arnie.
I led with a jaw then, didn't I?
Arnie can't help you.
Why
it's
not?
An FFA game.
Oh, really?
They take all the finals, so it's not a Sydney FC stadium.
All right, okay.
It's their home ground. But
Dave Gallop during the week then.
Get straight to the top. My grandmother always said, deal with the head, not the feet.
It's a very
Your grandmother
good point.
Was a very smart lady. Now, the other interesting thing that I heard last night, there's no one outside of one or two has won the A-League in the 11 years that it's been on. So
correct.
Do we say then, well, Melbourne victory today?
Well, they're my tip. And they were part of my multi on Friday. Mm. In this very studio, I went for Sydney FC into Melbourne victory into Spurs in the North London Derby, which we'll talk about in a minute. But yeah, look, I think victory will get over the top of Brisbane tonight based on they've had the week off, so they're fresher. Brisbane have had a tumultuous week, I guess you could say, a lot of travel to Thailand. I know they split the squad in half. You've got Jamie Young's 26 stitches in his arm.
Wow.
Theo's out. But Johnny Aloisi did leave a lot of key players behind to keep them fresh, the likes of Jade North, Christensen, McLaren, Borrello, those types. So they will have enough freshness. But the problem is with the ACL, when you split the squad, the players that stay behind never get the same intensity as when the full squad's there and the boss is there. And that's all due respect to Ross Aloisi. But when the boss is not there, the intensity does drop slightly.
Human nature.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's like when you do a show on a Sunday morning and the bosses aren't around. It's a little loose at times, doesn't it?
Well, you set your own standards.
Oh, here we go.
You set your own standards. And Ray, I have to say, your standards are up there, mate, no matter who's in the building.
I reckon that's why our pay negotiations went so horribly bad again, is that right?
They didn't go so well, did they?
Hey,
you guys
Phil.
Get paid for this.
Oh, that'll do me.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Thank you, Steve.
That's what management said, too. Hey, Phil. Okay, Sydney are through. presuming Melbourne do get through, even if it's Brisbane, who wins the grand final?
Sydney FC.
Okay. Just a better team.
They are riding a tsunami this season. They've got that much momentum. And I actually think last night was the most nervous point of their season.
Really?
After the week off and, you know, just that seed of doubt with the players. Can we maintain that momentum after a complete week off, watching the other teams go head-to-head? Different competition, so the finals is very different to the week in, week
they
out.
They looked sharp in
season.
The first half, particularly, didn't they last night?
With due respect to the other teams in the competition, promoter's dream.
Sydney-Melbourne.
Versus Melbourne.
Absolutely.
Sydney FC versus Melbourne victory.
The big blue.
The biggest one.
Absolutely. Well, the only bigger one than that would have been the Sydney Derby, but that's not possible.
No.
So you look at it, Sydney FC against Melbourne victory or Sydney FC against Brisbane, big blue, what a way to... And don't forget, that was the grand final 2 seasons ago.
Oh, correct.
And Melbourne victory smashed Sydney 3-0. Yeah.
Frank Lowy fell off the stand.
He did.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that?
What a way to put Australian football on the world map.
It did, for all the wrong reasons. That was so dangerous.
Yeah, it really was. It
looked awful.
Oh, it was terrible.
Anyway.
Arsenal v Spurs. North London derby.
North London derby. What about this? And I mentioned this on Friday. Paul Merson, 327 games for Arsenal in the 80s and 90s, is now a pundit over there. He's backed against his old club.
Wow.
Darren Anderton, 299 games for Spurs in the 90s, came out and said Arsenal will be an easier game than Crystal Palace for Spurs.
Gee.
So they're big statements. Mm-hmm. And particularly given Arsenal are still in that hunt for, you know, not for the Premier League title, but for Europe. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot riding on this game. I'm tipping Spurs. I think they've been phenomenal. And their consistency, they were second this time last season as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So for a club like Spurs, matching it with the massive clubs in the EPL, and you have to say Spurs is just below that size, I guess, of club. They've been phenomenal, and full credit to Pochettino and all his staff and the players. They've been phenomenal, and they are where they deserve to be. Mm. Spurs to get the nod there.
Mm. Not a little nervous, given some of the results we've seen in the English Premier League. Now we see Manchester United moving up into fifth spot, 33 games, 64 points. So see Liverpool anchored.
Well, Man U have got to play Swansea tonight.
Yeah.
And Swansea are fighting to avoid relegation. Like they're in the third relegation spot.
Well, they'll do that with one arm tied behind their back, so that'll be no problem.
I hope Hamish has recorded that one for... Sunderland have gone down, Phil.
By the way...
Yeah, they have, yeah. Confirmed overnight. Yeah.
By the way, speaking of the bet we have, a carton between you and I and Ray and I.
Oh, a carton, don't I think?
He owes me a carton already because he lost on Anzac Day.
Yeah, but I've told him to hold off on going to buy it.
Correct.
Is that so? That's what you've done?
No.
I'm expecting it's in the car. When we walk out, it's in the car. You're the schmuck.
I actually forgot. I can't lie to you. I actually forgot. So next Sunday, they'll...
I was wondering
what
that carton of beer was in the boot of my car this morning. Did you have my key?
There's been a horrible mix-up. Horrible mix-up. All right, what about some of the other results coming in internationally?
Sunderland going down. Big
Sunderland, that's right, relegated. David Moyes, he hasn't had a good couple of years, has he?
He's been paid well to have a bad
year. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't mind his bank account. But Vardy. Jamie Vardy
surging, aren't they?
Leicester got over the top of West Bromwich Albion, 9 points above the drop zone now, and the key to that is they've played the same number of games as Swansea, who are in that third relegation spot. So Leicester looking to dig themselves out of that hole.
So when everyone went, "What are you doing, sacking Claudio Ranieri?" Perfect decision,
incredible,
right decision.
Well, let's wait till the final round and they are safe. But I think 9 points with what have they got now? 4 games to go.
Surely.
Yeah, surely. Yeah, surely.
I think you're safe for this same segment next week. But anyway,
it's a very hard man.
You never want the backing of management.
Let me assure you, I am not management. If only I could make a decision on this program. I'll tell you what, I will make one decision. Let's go to an ad break.
Let's do that.
Thank you,
guys.
Phil.
See you next week.
Breezy, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man shaking it. See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
My 3 weeks' worth of the man shake, and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
All covered, all grounds, all beaky. Franco won the Champions Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
There's tough. And there's a new breed of tough. Introducing the new Amarok Core 4.
4x4 from only $42,990 drive away. This impressive workhorse comes with a rigid ladder frame chassis, the largest tray in its class. And now with a new cabin design, App Connect, and rear view camera, it's a whole new breed of tough. Offer ends April 30. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au.
Look, I do make some decisions on this program. Mm-hmm. Invariably, they're wrong. I went to an ad break before going to call a Shane there.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Thank you, Tubes. You've been a big presence in the show today, Tubes. I think we could have less of Tubes in the program, please.
I think Tubes is outstanding contribution.
So stay on the line there, Shane. And by the way, call now if you'd like to be a part of the quiz, the Z&Z quiz.
Score check, James.
It is 10-6 in my favour. So call now on 13-53-53. And by the way, we were supposed to ask Phil Moss what we don't see in football anymore, you know, as per our talk topic, and he was going to say leather, but he did add that the good thing is you can get it in other parts of your life, so which is really interesting in itself. Call now, 13-53-53 for the quiz.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
I think shemozzle is perhaps one of the ways to describe our program this morning. So let's go to the callers now. Shane is there. G'day, Shane.
G'day, Jimmy, Ray. How are you, boys?
Good morning,
really
Shane.
Well, mate. Yeah, Paul Vaughan, if he's not picked for the Australian team and the first board pick for New South Wales, there's something definitely wrong.
No, a lot of people in your corner, Shane.
First pick, but
he is a beast, fair to him.
He's had a great season.
Fellas, one thing that gets on my goat is politicians coming out making ridiculous statements about sporting events that they have no knowledge about. Now, within the next 3 years, ANZ Stadium, Allianz and Parramatta Stadium are all going to be reconfigurated for purely football and the two rugby codes, which means no Aussie rules, no athletics track. Now they've come out and made an announcement that they want to host the 2026 or 2030 Commonwealth Games. Where are we going to hold the athletics? Now, Jimmy, I've heard ES Marks Fields is available. I know we have a couple of athletics tracks where we run a little athletics in Mount Druitt, but can somebody tell, oh, we're building a new stadium for $1 billion in the middle of Penrith.
No, the showground, the Spotless Stadium is where they've said they'd run their athletics.
Okay, so it holds a capacity of 24,000 people, so that'll be our opening ceremony, will it?
The opening ceremony will be at ANZ Stadium.
Right.
But the athletics will be at Spotless Stadium. Mate, it's the Commonwealth Games. It's not like there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of people wanting to go to it.
Yeah, but the stadium up in, what is it, Centricon Stadium up in Gold Coast?
Metricon.
It holds 50,000, doesn't it?
Oh, I don't know exactly how many, but I don't think they've had it full, the Suns. I know that for a fact. Yeah. I think he's gone. You just cut him off. Okay. Well, he's gone. Don't know what happened to Shane there. But
makes sense, eh?
I think Sydney's an obvious one. Mm. They've got the infrastructure.
Correct.
To lay a track down at Spotless Stadium and away you go.
I'm with you.
Yeah, there you go. The 13-53-53, the open line number. Let's go to the quiz right now, and just an update on the score. It is 10-6 in my favour. We haven't worked out who's one or two, right? You go first.
You open the batting?
Yeah, you open the batting.
Okay, that means I've got Jake on my team. Jake, good morning.
G'day, Ray.
Yeah, Jake, best of luck. You know the drill, mate, so here's question number one. Which team led the NRL in line breaks heading into round 9? Was it the Sea Eagles, the Roosters or the Dragons?
Dragons
too. It's actually the Seagulls. Okay. Question number two. Which team was higher on the NRL ladder heading into round 9? The Sharks, the Broncos or the Cowboys?
Broncos.
Sharks, yeah. Okay, mate, we'll get this one. Oh, no, well, maybe we won't. Best of luck with this one, Jake. How many medals will be contested in snowboarding at the 2018 Winter Games in Pyeongchang? Is that right, Jim?
Yep.
In Pyeongchang. Is it 10, 12 or 14?
12.
Jake, there's three tough ones. Hang in there, Jake. You never know.
Jake's don't laughing.
Yeah. Well, mate, hard questions.
Don't hang in there, Jake. I'd hang up.
Jeez, you're a hard man, Jim.
No, I think it's true, though, right?
Jake might come through with a Chautauqua-like finish.
No. Rob's here. G'day, Rob.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Very well, mate. Just a good guess here will get you home, all right?
Yeah.
Which team, question one, which team led the NRL in offloads heading into round nine? Was it the Dragons, the Tigers, or the Bulldogs?
I'll say the Tigers.
Stop the fight! Dear. Stop the fight!
It's too easy.
Ding, 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 ding.
Can I answer the next one as well, just to make it interesting?
That's all right. You can give me
all right, I'll give you this one. But the other, the third one we've got to save because producer Jeremy hasn't got much imagination and he has to save as many of those ridiculous Olympic questions as he can, okay? All right. Question two. Which team was higher on the NRL ladder heading into round nine, the Seagulls, the Bulldogs or the Eels?
The Seagulls.
Oh, Rob's still
I feel like sending out two watches, Rob. Seriously. It's been, you completely dominated,
what's
Jake.
What's your team, Rob?
It's the Tigers.
There you go. Tigers.
Okay. There you go. Well, they weren't, couldn't quite get the job done. It was a good performance without getting the win at Leichhardt. Were you there at Leichhardt?
No, I was watching it, and I tell you, I used to have a lot of respect for Gale, but geez, I lost a bit for him last night with that effort.
That was over the top. Over the top. Ridiculous. Mm. Well, and now what's happened when they allow it is they just encourage everyone else to do it.
He hates that sort of stuff. I can't. You know, he's always getting stuck into other players for doing it. And I can't believe he's gone and done that himself.
And it worked.
Sure did.
And it worked. Right. You worked as well this morning, Rob. You stay on the line, mate. We'll get your details. We'll send you out a Tigers watch, courtesy of our great sponsors, Z&Z. Remember, check them out on the website, ZEDNZED.com.au.
Score check.
That'd be 11-6, Ray. I'd call that a mini break.
Okay. The Penrith Mazda 2016 plate clearance, Jimmy, it's in its final days.
This is
your last chance. Seriously, mate, you've got to get out there and do it. You've been talking about it for a long time. To get that amazing deal on a 2016 plated Mazda, including your favourites, Jimmy, the BT50s in the Mazda Ute Centre with over 50 Utes on display.
Six acres.
You got reliable information. It was six, not five.
No. Over 5 acres, I can say it's six. Okay. That's from Gav.
So, Jimmy, hurry, don't miss out. Come and see the Mazda specialist for unbeatable deals. Penrith Mazda has over 150 vehicles on display, so come in and grab a bargain. Penrith Mazda, they're the 2016 Mazda Master Dealer. They're family-owned and operated. They're at Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4 MD18808.
It's somewhat from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat a length clear from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat hanging on. He wins the Doncaster, a half length to Happy Clapper.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
You're making your way out there to the show.
Where's that?
Mulgoa Road.
Oh, I feel like it. No, I've got to work today down at Wynn Stadium.
Okay, just a quick aside. I remember last week I mentioned Colin Burke, who said hello to me at the races at Randwick, and he told me about the
Burke.
Sydney Open. Yeah, your man Burke, at the Hornsby RSL.
Yeah.
The Sydney Open Billiards Championship.
Uh-huh.
Well, your man Peter Gilchrist.
Gilly.
Yep, all the way from England, the world's number one.
Yes.
He won the tournament from the Australian, I think it's Matt Pearson, who hadn't been beaten for a decade.
No, it's Bolton.
Bolton, okay.
Yeah, Bolton.
Anyway. Oh, your man Bolt, sorry. Well, hasn't Pearson got the tick next to it?
But
like
this guy's is the Aussie guy. Bolt is the Aussie guy. He's got the great reputation.
So did Pearson get through to the final?
Pearson got through to the final.
And your man Gilly won.
Correct.
I'm indebted to Colin Burke for sending that through to us. The Sydney Open Beers Championship last week, Jim.
Good on you, Burkey. Appreciate that. Now we've got Dean Bulldog Ritchie. And I describe him as the number one rugby league writer from the Daily and Sunday Telegraphs. He's joining us on the line as he does every Sunday. Morning, Dino.
Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Dino.
Hey, Dino, who's in this test side? Because... Well, now Aaron Woods is injured. He's, you would have to say, definitely going to miss. Shannon Boyd didn't play in the second half yesterday, and he was the replacement for Josh Papali. What's happening?
Yeah, good question. I've done a little bit of ringing around this morning, Jimmy. First, I'll just start with Thurston. Of course, he didn't play for the Cowboys in this round. He will go into camp, and the medical staff for the Kangaroos will assess him. He wants to play desperately. We know what a competitor Jonathan Thurston is, but privately the Cowboys don't want him to play. So whether there's a little bit of pressure from the Cowboys on the Kangaroos, I guess we'll find out in the next 24 hours, but certainly the Cowboys don't want Jonathan Thurston playing with that calf injury. Now, as for the forwards, as you said, Boyd didn't play the second half last night. Trbojevic has been brought in as 18th man. Do you think he'd come onto the bench if Boyd is cleared to play? He would start for Woods, who... I'm told this morning won't be playing in the game. There's even talk that he may not even go into camp.
Right.
So a real disrupted preparation for the Roos, particularly with the Josh Papali drama, which unfolded late last week.
Paul Vaughan, Dino, is he on the fringes now?
He'd certainly have to be, Ray, wouldn't he? You'd think he'd be almost, you know, next in line, yeah. I guess, you know, like Andrew Fifita are around as well. Look, there's plenty of depth there. You know, look, I hate to say this, guys, and I sound unpatriotic when I do say it, but it's just been a bit difficult to generate a lot of interest in the game. It's a test match. We should be loving it. We should cherish it. But at the moment, it seems to be, as it does most years, you know, take second stage behind the NRL.
Yes. Yes. And then in saying that, I think the Rugby League World Cup at the end of the year is going to be spectacular.
I think it will be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
I mean, Origin dwarfs everything. We know that. Even the city country, when it comes to headlines this week, it has really taken away a lot from the test match, given the stance of those three clubs, Raiders, Cowboys, and, of course, the Bulldogs. I can't help but feel disappointed in the attitude of these three clubs. It's the last city country game. I get there's some selfish interest in rugby league, but sometimes you've just got to put the game first. I think it's a real snub for the country people that this, the last city country, which has been going for more than 100 years, clubs are pulling players out. And if I was a player, I know I'd be, particularly a young player, I'd be filthy at being robbed of a rep jumper.
Case-by-case basis is the way that Des Hazard is going to look at it, which is interesting in itself. In saying what you do...
I think that means to me that Josh Jackson will play. That's the mail I'm hearing.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Josh Jackson
his hometown.
Wants to play, he'll be allowed.
And just on that, what you say about Jonathan Thurston, given Paul Green's stance this morning, you'd think they wouldn't let him play in that test match, even though it is the test match. Josh Papali played for the Raiders last night, probably won't play for them in their next game, and won't play for Australia, and that's been endorsed by Mal Meninga as well. It's a strange story, Dino. Have you got any news on it?
All I know, Jimmy, is that he ran the police twice when he was clearly intoxicated while driving home from Jared Cricker's, I think it was an engagement party, and twice ran the police to say he was intoxicated. The mail I'm getting out of Canberra, it was a personal issue which Josh wasn't coping well with.
Right.
He said it was a cry for help. No one quite knows what that cry for help was by ringing the police. It was very unusual, very bizarre, but from what I'm hearing, it is a personal matter. He's struggling a little bit at the moment, Papali, with that matter, and hopefully the club, well, I know the club has intervened and is trying to help the young bloke through the issues.
Gee, I tell you what, I mean, last night aside, if he's struggling with it, he's playing incredible football.
Like, he's a good player.
He is a very good player.
Hey, Dino, apart from the City Country Farce this week, the other major news has been the signing news. So much happening, isn't it?
It just never ends, Ray. It's just unbelievable. I can't remember in all the time I've been at the paper of such a cluttered few weeks of signings, particularly mid-season. And, you know, again, it's a difficult debate to have whether fans are entitled to boo these players who swap mid-season. You know, I have a theory a player like Aaron Woods doesn't deserve that. He's a Tigers junior. He's done a lot for the club, but you know, the fans pay their money. I mean, there was a sign on the Leichhardt Hill last night that read, Woods is a dog. I mean, that's pretty harsh for a guy who has given his soul for the club. And look, Aaron Woods isn't the first player to sign with a rival club.
It happens,
isn't it? No, but, you know, I think you can look at it and say, okay, Josh Reynolds. Now, there were signs up there saying he's our grub and all that last night because I think they appreciate that he's just been squeezed out.
Yeah.
Whereas it was a very different situation. And with all these media gigs, Aaron Woods, he's been open to interrogation, for want of a better term, by people. And I think they've felt that at times Aaron Wood wasn't completely straight with everyone.
He's entitled to his time and space too, Jimmy, to make that decision. That's a big decision for Aaron Woods.
Undoubtedly, mate.
Struggled to make it.
But, you know, if he goes and says to the CEO of the West Tigers, look, I don't think this coach is the one to lead us forward, and then they go and sack that coach, and then they get another coach, and he thinks, well, I don't think this bloke's the one to lead us forward either.
But do we know he said that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I hadn't heard that. I was told, but Aaron Woods told me that he may well have stayed even if Jason Taylor was retained.
Well, that we will never know. That we will never know, Dean. All right, and our team news today. This is an interesting one because the teams, of course, they weren't in the Big League magazine because of the late game and Anzac Day, but what about the Warriors up against the Roosters?
Yeah, it looks like their centre, Solomon Carter, he'll go out. Jimmy, of that Warrior side. A young kid called, I think it's Shanzay Nicol Klokstad.
Yep.
He'll come in there. He's a good young player for the Roosters. Mitch Orbison, he will come back into that side. And, of course, there's a 4 o'clock game. It's a big game down there in Wollongong. It's 1v2. Should be an absolute cracker. You said you'll be there, Jimmy. I will too. So I'm really looking forward to this game. Gareth Widdop out 6 weeks injured. Kurt Mann, Josh McCrone. They'll be the new Dragons halves. Jack DeBellin has an eye injury. They think he'll be okay. And Kenny Bromwich, he'll come back into that Melbourne Storm side. And I neglected to tell you guys, Kieran Foran, he's still in some doubt that Warriors side with that hamstring injury. They think he'll play, but he's going to be assessed this morning.
So if he plays in that, will he play in the test match?
Well, I'd imagine so, yeah. Again, it's a difficult one. But look, if he's ruled out, does he play in the test match for the Kiwis?
Well, that's right. And you'd think if he does play, then he's going to be susceptible to an injury that is only 4 days later.
Mm.
Just signing news quickly before I go, guys. The Dogs have been linked to two fullbacks during the week, Josh Dugan and Jared Hayne. The Dogs are denying that they're chasing Josh Dugan. And I spoke to Jared Hayne's manager, Wayne Beavis, yesterday. He said he hasn't got a call yet from the Dogs. So certainly the mail is strong that they're chasing one or both, but as yet no one's saying anything official. And over at the West Tigers, I'm hearing they're interested in Russell Packer from the Dragons. So maybe a move there from Wollongong to Concord for Packer.